Blog Talk Radio. prepared. Link. Welcome to the show, and how are you? So we have some people in the queue, but we still have some spots still open, so give us a call here at 646-721-9031. If that was too fast, I'll slow it down this time and put down the call-in number is 646-721-9031. Also join us tomorrow night at 11 p.m. We'll be back here doing this all over again. What do you say? So, if you're out there listening and you just can't get the courage to call in right now, it's okay. You know, got another time to sit there and figure out. We can call back tomorrow night. And we're here Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And usually it's 11 p.m. every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And this next week we're going to start something new where we're going to be on Monday and Wednesdays during the daytime. We actually have two shows, one for Monday and one for Wednesday. That'll be on at 9:30 a.m. That's Eastern Time. And right now it's 11:09 here. It's on the East Coast. We're having a great time. The weather's kind of been kind of freaky, but good. And that's a good thing, I think so. So, what was we doing here? Looking at the situation, a lot of things. Trying to freaking plug somebody in. Trying to get some lights on. But someone seems like someone unplugged. Hold on for 1 second. We finally got some lights on here. So, all right, let's just go. And, oh my goodness! Okay. All right, let's go into our first caller, which is actually area code 207. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm still alive. That's a good thing.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah.
Well,
I hope it's a good thing.
Well, you never know. Some days it is, and some days it's not, huh?
Yeah, some days you're the dog, and some days you're the fire hydrant.
Well, we try to make more days where we're the dog, okay?
Yeah, I'd like that because I've been the fire hydrant for a number of years now.
Right. So how can I help you? What's your name? I'm sorry.
Oh, my name is Dorothy. My nickname's D. Take your pick.
Okay. And?
And, well, let's see. What can you tell me about the man in my life?
Not much.
Well, thanks. I'm looking for my love. Well, if you can't help me with my love life, maybe you can help me find my half-sister. Take your pick.
All righty. Well, Dee, with the situation going on, first of all, what is his name?
There was a man named Tony. His name is Anthony, but he goes by Tony.
I know very well. I have a brother named Tony. We call him Anthony from time to time. He's a dork. But
okay. Why not?
No, he's it's like one of those things. You look at the situation and ask yourself one thing. I get this a lot. And I sit and talk to people quite a bit, and I'm not scared to sit there and put it out there and say, you know, the idea of worrying about other people is great. In some sense of the word, of trying to figure out things. But sometimes it's best to go within yourself and go, okay, how's this look to me? How's this really setting with me? Am I settling for something? Or am I really going after what I want? Because realistically, when I look at the situations of doing relationship counseling and doing this work for so long, I notice one thing. When people meet people and it's something that's really meant to happen at that moment, it does.
Right.
And I think therapists, we should take them all out and shoot them. Because it's like they all sit there and go, talk to me. Well, a lot of times people have a tough time talking to anybody. And I think we should be focusing more on talking and focusing on ourselves. And asking ourselves exactly what do we want at that moment. Maybe we don't want to be with somebody. That's okay. That's an honest response. It's also being honest with yourself at the time. When we look at Tony, sometimes you get a really strong impression of wanting to slap somebody. I don't know why. That's the impression I get. And it could be the ideal, just a person who has a tendency to refuse.
I've never felt that way. In fact, the first time we ever chatted with each other on Yahoo, I was reading him very well, which was, because he was coming back to me and saying I was absolutely right because I'm a medium myself and I can't figure out my own love life, but I was reading him very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should trust that.
I trust that. A couple of people have told me, well, one person told me, she was from the UK, said I was going to meet somebody in October, and he was an American naval man who was rather punctual, and that was not one of my strong suits, which is, I could use some help in that department. And she picked up on the past relationship I had that I ended.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody earlier tonight, I thought it'd be fun to call into this particular show because they not only give you reading, but the other person that's there plays a song for you, but I was at the last, so I didn't get a song, but she was saying I was going to meet somebody either in August or sometime between now and then. And nobody, what do I know? Everybody's been telling me because I know. And it was interesting that her guide would say, her spirits, whatever, would say, it wasn't going to be somebody from across the pond because that's my term I use all the time. Because for me, I want to go, when I think I'm very Celtic. My ancestry is Celtic. And for me, it's Scotland and Ireland. I want to go home to the Highlands, and I feel like I belong with a Celtic man. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Tony's English, but I've told him before, I'm going to drag you to the Highlands with me.
Tony's English?
He's English. He lives, he lives near Gloucester, the old nursery rhyme, Dr. Foster.
Oh.
Yeah. There's just something about him that, we clicked right away. He just started, I'm on tag, and so is he. And I was just looking for friends, and we winked back and forth a few times and finally asked him if he'd like to have a friend. And so he did, and we started going back and forth. And then we started chatting on Yahoo. And at the moment, there seems to be some problems with Internet for him and where he's at because I noticed he popped up the other morning, even though he didn't pop up visibly. So I just said hi.
Mm-hmm.
Said a few things to him, and then I got a message later on tag saying that he'd opened up his Yahoo, but he could see me typing, but he couldn't answer back.
Oh.
Now Yahoo acts up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know what the scoop is, but I thought I'd finally found the right person for me. And some people were saying, no, no, and I'm going, what are you doing to me?
That's what I'm saying, you have to listen to yourself.
I'm trying to listen to myself a lot more than because I've had a tendency to want everybody else to tell me what's right inside of me.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying
with the situation that we get into a lot of things where I was listening to some Block Talk radio shows too, and I heard one person say, and I won't mention any names, even though I should. It's one of those things of looking at people and I get tired of hearing psychics say this one thing. I can't read myself, but I'm good for everybody else. And we always have this little saying, you can't be good for anybody else until you're good for yourself. So that's a contradiction. It's also the idea.
Okay, because I have a tendency to be like that myself, figuring there are things that I probably can read for myself, but I know I have to trust my instincts more.
Yeah, because
true.
I'll give you an example. I was sitting there the other day, and someone told me something about a situation where they had given me a reading before, and I'm not sitting there denouncing the lady at all. Real nice lady.
Oh.
It's just the idea of really focusing on things and seeing things for what they are to understand one thing. Sometimes when you hear information from somebody else, sometimes it's all it's for is to help you understand, to listen to yourself. That when you hear
right.
it and how it resonates with you is very important. If you sit here and listen to somebody and you just feel right off the bat that what they're telling you is wrong and that you know at that moment that you are right, it's the idea of focusing more on that vision. I'm like, the other day I was pulling out my angel book and I was actually looking up your area code 207. Yours is basically says the universe is patting you on the back, applauding the way you've lived on a foundation of prayer and spiritual devotion. Keep up the good work.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I'm actually an ex-minister's wife.
Yeah. So
which is kind of weird because I came to a point in my life later on. I didn't know about the fact that I was born a medium. I didn't realize that I got it from both sides of the family. It was never talked about. I shut off when I was really young. And it's only been maybe 5 years tops, and that's maybe it's more like four, since I realized that my maternal grandmother and her mother were also witches, and so that's, so I just say I came out of the broom closet, so I'm sort of the person that espouses Christianity, Druidism, and Wicca, and in that, maybe, I'm not sure which order, but Wicca always comes last, because in 1640, I was Meg, who lived in County Cork, and she was a Druid. So it's kind of cool, she integrated into me, but I'm wondering about something because a couple of times I called into somebody and the second time I called in just to find out what had happened after I left because she had had a guest on there. And the first time I called her, I didn't like her banter. It wasn't, to me it wasn't professional enough because I really don't, even for me, if I was doing a show, I would not be telling people about my battery-operated boyfriends and stuff like that. That just doesn't resonate with me.
Battery-operated boyfriend.
Vibrators?
No, I got the point. I was just
okay, but I mean, she was talking about that stuff. Well, the thing was, the woman that was on her show when the night that I called in, I had talked with this other woman before, and apparently, she just lambasted me because you got to stop going to everybody and asking, stuff. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, I have to trust my instincts more so I don't ask about a certain situation in my life because I figure that's pretty much, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But but later on, the woman called me up, the one that, lambasted me, and she was saying, she was so sorry. She felt she let me down and on and on. She said she was never going to go back in that woman's show again.
Mm-hmm.
She was back on there again tonight. I didn't listen to the show. But there was something about the other psychic. Something that was off about her. And a couple of my friends were also psychics, and one of them especially is really good with pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with pictures too, but she's really good at it. And I sent pictures, and she wouldn't even open them up full way. She told me, she said, this woman doesn't even walk in the light. She got a tightness in her chest.
No.
And I was gonna warn the woman that was a guest on there tonight, and then I realized, nope, I'm not gonna do that because if I do, it's just gonna come back on me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because if she's gonna go back on the show where she said she would never go again.
Well, I always feel like something comes back on you because it's your intent. If you have intent to call her out and make her embarrass her, I think it would come back on you. But if you're actually looking at it as in a caring way of helping her understand what's going on, then it would only benefit both of you.
Right. The guest psychic, I just wanted to warn her because I know that this other woman, I can just tell, she's, she's not walking in the light. The second time I called in, she had a guest on there, and because I wanted to find out what happened after I left. And she was, whoever she was talking to, they were talking about curses and things you could do to, to basically make people's lives miserable, and that just, I was just kind of what, because I didn't catch it from the very beginning. So I didn't say anything, but when I talked to her guest, when he finished, I just said something about I always walk in the light and left it at that, because I don't, anybody that isn't going to walk in the light don't darken my path because I won't go that way.
Yeah.
That's like just wrong.
So I'm sort of looking at the situation you were talking about and saying, hey, you know something, the ideal, the English dude, I think it's the ideal. So a lot of things have been clouded here because of going to so many people in the situation of actually believing what you know, what's really true within your heart.
Well, what I feel is, you know, because I know that the woman that spoke to me tonight was talking about confusion around me. Yeah, there is, because there's somebody that I've been close to, and I always thought, you know, this is the one. When mm-hmm. when I encountered Meg from 1460, she was saying, oh, whatever, 1640, whatever. She was saying that, you know, that was her husband in that particular life. And I've always felt really close to him. I know he was in a very bad marriage. But when I mm-hmm. met Tony, there was something about him. It's the way he smiles, because we do video when we are on Yahoo together now. We'll do a video chat. I love mm-hmm. the way he smiles. The thing he does with his tongue is like, okay, you're going to make me melt here.
Mm-hmm.
He makes me feel good about being me, and I like the fact that he's attracted to me because he's 48 and I'll be 64 in March. But I don't mm-hmm. look 64. I don't think it, feel it, or act it, or dress like I'm an old lady.
Okay.
And he just looks at me and thinks, you know, hey, because I thought he said to me one night that he fancied me. I said, did you mm-hmm. say you fancy me? He says, I'm a man. Okay, I'll take that. You know, there's just something about him that makes me feel good, because I've never had the world's greatest luck with in the love department.
Well,
got married
once
to somebody,
too,
you know. Yeah, I've had the world's worst luck.
Okay.
And
well,
this guy comes along and makes me feel really good about being me, and you know, hey, you know, I haven't found any reason to think that he's hiding something from me, or. Because mm-hmm. he always said, if you ask me something, he says, I'll answer you honestly. And I don't push him.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's in a living situation that needs to change. I'm not sure what that's about. And having trouble with his, I guess it's, he said WB, whatever that is. And I know that Yahoo acts up. So he's not on the computer as much as he'd like. And he doesn't, once in a while, I get something from him. And I don't complain.
What's WB mean?
I don't know. WB, I thought, must have been wideband or something for all I know. Or maybe it was a typo.
It could be. Because
I didn't know what it was. Yeah. I didn't ask him. I just know that there's something about him. And one of my friends that I actually met on in a chat room for Jethro mm-hmm. Smith, and she was saying that she looked at his pictures because she's an empath, and she just thought we belonged together. How do I know? Mm-hmm. I just find it hard for me to figure for myself, because I've never had the world's greatest self-esteem. It's boosted up a lot in the last few years, mm-hmm. especially with guys that say, hey, I like you just the way you are, because I'm a BBW. Thank God. Okay. I'm not an SSBBW, but I'd hate that. I've come to appreciate that, yeah, you like me because I'm me, and sometimes that's all it is. I mean, they do anyway, but I just like the fact that I don't have to be a twig.
Mm-hmm.
To be important to somebody, because I, like I said, my life has been I've never had good luck. I married the only person I ever dated, and that was the biggest disaster.
Yeah, but see, you got to look at life through what it is, and I'm saying to you right now, stop saying that.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Just stop and pause and go, okay, now let's take a look at your life and go, I've never had any good luck. Okay, you're not married anymore. Good luck. Thank you. That was a good luck move, I thought. Yeah.
That was a capital idea.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. In order to help yourself reinforce the ideal of having good luck in your life and realize you've had good luck throughout your whole life, it was just the ideal realizing what good luck and bad luck is. Good decision, bad decision.
Right.
So you start thinking better about yourself, so you start making better decisions. So therefore, everything starts
exactly.
changing. But I see it all started with you, and we want to keep that way. And like I said before, it's like right now, just take a deep breath. And with the situation, what you're talking about is like, give me a chance to actually give you some insights in here, because you're talking too much, which means you're thinking too much, and you're looking for some solutions, but you're not really resonating from your heart. And you need to go back down there and take yourself out of your head and realize that when things really work good, it's because we feel good about ourselves and everything spontaneously happens. Say it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Spontaneously happens. But but seriously, I'm saying seriously, that's what I do. I mean, I used to be a person who was always saying, going, this sucks. This is bad. It's your fault. This is happening. This wouldn't have happened because of this. But when you start focusing on finding the solution, the more you keep doing it, the more you keep looking for solutions, so therefore you're no longer focusing on the problem. Now, a lot of people have a tendency to focus too much on the problem, not realizing you already know what it is. Why would you want to focus on it even more? That's why you keep creating the same things over and over again. So with your situation with this guy, is he married or not?
As far as I know, not.
And he lives in
He lives in England. I did find one day, I just happened to notice, because I don't make a habit of just going onto my friends' profile pages, even though they're open and I can. I looked at it, said something about in a relationship, and I went, what? And he just explained it to me, because I guess he had told me before about some woman that sort of stalked him online. Mm-hmm. He said he put that on there just to keep people, you know, from doing that sort of thing. He just reassured me, no, I am not married. And he was kind enough to let me know when he was going away for a few days to visit his mother, whom I know he's very close to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are things like that. And so I know he's not married, and I don't know that he ever has been. But when the first time we chatted, I only had pictures. I didn't see him. But I was reading him, picking up on the kind of person he is, and I thought, gee, I really like this, because here's somebody he's educated. I'm intelligent. I just don't have the education. But at the same time, it's somebody he likes the theater and the arts. I've never been around somebody like that that's got a little more. Because I told him, I said, I can see you in a tuxedo, because I'm a clairvoyant and a clairaudient and all that. So I could see him in a tuxedo, and I thought, gee, this is really cool. Just things about him. He's artistic. He's musical. And music is a big thing for me, especially, well, one of my biggest loves is Celtic music. I listen to that, whether it's bagpipe or Scottish or Irish, and 3/4 of the time, I start to cry because I'm homesick. Because I feel like this is my first lifetime in this country. Like, it's always been over there, whether it was England or Ireland or Scotland, but way back when, England was, they were all sort of part of each other. So I feel like I've never lived here before, and what am I doing here? I don't belong here. And I get that real, I get homesick. It doesn't last, but, you know, I get homesick. And I just told him, I'm taking him with me. I'm dragging him to the Highlands.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't say anything, but, you know, he hasn't, you know, I think that there really is something there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see it develop, because I have to get over all my fears and be able to fly again, do all the things I need to do.
Well,
because
Go ahead.
Because I do have a lifestyle that is not conducive to, you know, I don't have a life. I have so many, you know, I have disabilities that nobody can see, and they're holding me back. But I've done a lot of growing and healing, and I'm working my way forward. Because I don't want to spend the rest of my life not being able to do the things I want to do. Because I want to get my jewelry business off the ground. I want to be able to get my writing published.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that, and I want to be able to, you know, really do more with you know, with the gifts I've been given, because I'm rusty, I guess you could say, because I'm not doing enough readings.
Mm-hmm.
I used to read on, I did for a while put some stuff out on eBay, and then I realized I wasn't going to do that anymore, because I like my 100% positive feedback, and I'm a person that, If you want a reading from me, you better be prepared that I'm going to call it like I see it and not tell you what I think you want to hear. And I won't sugarcoat it. I'll be kind to you, and I'll I'll give you follow-ups. And I'm somebody that if I'm reading from home, I do it for donations. And if I was on LivePerson for a while until I was without a computer, and then they said they dumped me, and I've forgotten the other place I joined later, but I keep my fees low, because I know there are a lot of people that can't afford it, and I want to be able to help people. It's not about the money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me. I try to do the best I can, and right now I'm in a situation where I'm fighting to keep myself from being evicted from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that I've decided, you know, I stopped asking everybody under the sun what they saw about that, because I think I know that it's going to turn out, even though I'm going right to the edge.
Yes.
And I know that it's a very bad situation, but I also know that if my selectman would actually have ever worked with me, we might have been able to, something better could have happened, and I wouldn't have to be dealing with a neighbor across the street who makes it worse. I think they're probably tired of him going up there and carping, because if he could, he'd probably come in here and haul me out himself.
Right.
He can't stand me, and I haven't done anything to him. That's the problem, but I think somebody was right. It's karma. I'm dealing with karma here. And that's, you know, okay, so I screwed up in the past life. Hey, I'm trying in this one.
Yeah.
And I just want to break. I know that a lot of what the selectmen are pulling is scare tactics. But they don't want to recognize my disabilities. They want to listen to other people. They don't want to listen to me. And I think it's very sad that, you know, small town, my hometown, you can't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I think we've gotten to the point of it's vendetta now. And that's what, you know, that's their problem. I'm trying to do the best I can. I wrote something for the two newspapers in the area, and one of them, I talked to the editor because I sort of know him, and his he finally wrote back and said, well, what you've written, yeah, it is too long, and, you know, he would take the chop the end off because that was responding to some errors in an article that was written by his reporter, because I let her interview me, and she screwed up. He didn't want to, he was basically saying, well, maybe, you know, later on we might be able to publish this thing if I can find the space. So I just wrote him back tonight and said, hey, you know, this needs to be, I can't shorten it. It needs to be exactly the way it is. This needs to be out there so people will know what the selectmen have been doing. You know, I'm fighting here to save my house, save myself from eviction. You know, the selectmen get, and my situation get plenty of news coverage, but I don't. I don't get it, so, you know, you need to do this. I just told him exactly like it is.
Right.
I'm getting tired of getting the short end of the stick. I want people to really sit up and take notice and decide that, because I think people do seem to have this misconception. Because you can't see the disabilities, they think, you know, you've got a label slapped on you that says mentally ill, so they think you're crazy than a coot. Like,
right.
No, I may not, but I'm not, you know, what's an agoraphobic going to do to somebody? And I'm mildly agoraphobic. I don't think post-traumatic stress is going to cause anybody any problems or situational depression or panic and anxiety problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I even have a form of panic. I can't ride in the car anymore. People think that makes you crazy. No, but people do have a misconception. They think if you have a label like mental illness, then you automatically that makes you stupid. No, it's just the opposite. It's the really bright people that get mental illnesses.
All right.
And I'm not, you know that's my thing, and people don't get that. And I think there are people that know that I'm a medium, and I guess there are people that know I'm a witch, because I decided, you know, what's the point? If that's what you are, don't hide behind some label like Wicca or something. Just be be honest about it. Because I'm not out here harming somebody. I walk in the light. I would never do anything to harm somebody's free will, and I believe in the threefold law. Whatever you do for good or bad comes back to you threefold.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the golden rule. I've read the full Wiccan read, and it's got a lot of good stuff in it. But people are so afraid of anything that doesn't – if you're not a sheeple, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been a sheeple. I don't ever plan to be one because it's boring. I am a very mentally active person. That's the problem. My mind is going 90 miles an hour, almost 24/7. It doesn't shut down easily. But that's just the way it is for me. But I'm working my way back, and I just want a chance. I want somebody out there to pay attention and do something. Whether it's a third party buyer takes this house because the town claims they own it anyway, and gives me a life residency, that would be great. Because I don't want to lose. I mean, the house isn't falling down around me. It's a good house. My grandfather built it when I was 4 years old, my paternal grandfather, and I would like to be able to not be thrust out somewhere where I would be extremely unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
A small apartment somewhere. If the town does take, I call it the selectmen, not the town, they took this place, the energy would be ruined on this property. The house would go. They'd ruin the beautiful trees that are here, and I'd have to make sure the rose bushes got dug up and my two friends got them before they ruined those too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what's happening, but it's almost like, what am I going to do? Because they're threatening to call the sheriff's department and have me served with the papers because they think I don't take this whole situation seriously, and I won't fill out one of the forums for either one of the apartment places that they're talking about, because I know enough to know I do that, I've just put the last nail in my coffin. Mm-hmm. I know they'll use it. I'll be at the top of the list, and I wouldn't even have a chance to say no because they'd have me hauled out of here so fast, my head would be spinning.
Right.
The thing is that they underestimate me. That's the problem they always have. I like to keep mm-hmm. one. I like to keep ahead of them, and I'm trying. I have somebody that's advocating for me, and hopefully there will be a third-party buyer that they will take that offer.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't, they don't understand the devastation. It's been through the court system all the way through to the main Supreme Court. I pushed it because the first time around I won. The second time around they won when they appealed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they appealed the first decision, and the judge said he wasn't going to reverse it. So they took it to the Superior Court, and that judge said, okay, you know, you win. Then I took it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court was stupid enough to let them to say, oh, yeah, you have the right to the house. And I haven't been able to figure it out since it was stated by the district court judge that it was called into question as to exactly when they took my house, when they would have taken it because of different dates, and just exactly who owned the place. And they were charging me for taxes when they shouldn't have been. And they weren't working. They've never worked with me, hardly. I couldn't, like I say, I can never catch a break, but I think now is my time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm spent because I finally stood up, fought back. They're going to think long and hard, and because I think that at some point people are going to start to speak up because people don't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people don't. My own pastor, and I still belong to a church, unfortunately, UCC, he won't speak up. He told me he didn't want to get involved. I've wanted to give him that poem that came out around World War II. First they mm-hmm. came for so-and-so, and I didn't speak up because it wasn't for me. And then eventually they came for you, they came for whoever was writing it. And who was there to speak up for them? It's going to come back and bite people in the butt.
Right.
Karma is coming for a lot of people. And it's too bad because I just want a life. I just want a chance in this world. Mm-hmm. It seems like every time I turn around, I get slapped down one more time. I'm tired.
I hear you.
I sometimes wonder if it's not because I'm a life path 11.
Oh, what?
You know, I don't know. I'm an indigo, and I don't know much about that either. But,
indigo?
You know, I do realize, yeah, you know, the indigo children.
No, I sense that. Yes, I understand that. I was just saying indigo. Indigo children. Indigo children are very, very gifted. That's what it is. It's just one of those things of realizing the gifts that you have and utilize and realize and just embrace. It's like how we sit there and look at the situation. The world is what it is, according to what you think it is.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yeah, the world is, I don't know, it's become so screwy. People are, I don't know. I don't understand people. I don't think I ever will. And I realize,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
It's one of those things that take a step back, and it's not the idea of trying to understand the world. It's the idea of getting to know who you are and realizing that one thing is you're here because you're a gift to the world. And it's one of those things when people don't see that, doesn't mean you have to see who they are. That's their responsibility.
Exactly. I can't, no. Mm-hmm. No, I'm getting more to that, I feel much better about being who I am than I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with not the highest self-esteem because I grew up in a family that it was difficult. I was the only child that I know of, but somewhere out there I've realized I have a half-sister that I need to find.
Mm-hmm.
And I dreamt about her a while ago. And somebody told, somebody tonight told me I would get more stuff in dreams for that. But it, write down my stuff in the morning, but I haven't seen any messages coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I got some information in the first dream, and I was wondering why it was cropping up now, and I'd forgotten what the answer was that came into my head, but it was something that, I needed to do now, because she's older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is why in the dream, when I met her, I didn't ask her name, I just asked if she was my half-sister. My mother was in the dream, and it's not her child, it's my father's. But I would like to find her just because it would be interesting to find out because she was apparently born in 1943 And I can't figure out how, because in the dream I talked with her mother, who said that she was married to my father, but the only marriage that I know of besides my mother was the one before that, because he was married once before that, and I didn't find out about it until I was just about to be married, and I was 26 years old. And I've tried talking to my grandparents on the other side, who seem to not know anything about it. Like, how did he manage to do that one? This gets confusing. I know there were plenty of secrets and lies that went to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
My whole family, it's a very interesting family. I still have my two grandmothers. They hang out around here. I just don't bother with them.
Right.
But I know they don't like me. Well, they can hang out there for all I care.
And they will. They will.
They will, right now they're not bothering me. But they have a friend of mine, actually Astral traveled over here twice, and the second time they were talking about how it was crazy and they were gonna they're gonna lock her up, don't you? And they asked my friend, you know, can you hurt us at one point? And she said, I can, she said, but I won't. But she said, she told him she wouldn't, but if they did anything to me, she would.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just, I think it's that whole jealousy thing. Those two need to be together to be strong. Mm-hmm. I'm the strong one. My cousin has never developed his gift. My mother and her sister apparently were afraid of it, so they shut off. And I guess my other grandparents had it, and my father had it, so, to one degree or another.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the one that really uses it. I wouldn't want to be any other way, because I think I'd be bored. I bore easily. And I find
right.
it fascinating. It's fascinating to the psychic realm.
Mm-hmm.
You get into it, and it's like, whoa, you know, angels, fairies, spirit guides. And I have, you know, and it's very busy in my head because so many spirits pass by. Not the real heavy-duty ones. They keep those away from me, but, you know, there's plenty of stuff that goes by all the time. And it's an interesting place in my head. I feel sorry. Hmm. Somebody told me once they had to raise their energy level just to read for me.
Oh, really?
Because I'm a high energy. My energy is off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
Not my physical energy, but my mental energy. I could burn that and keep the house warm for years. Wouldn't need an oil furnace if I could get away with it. That's just the way it is. Everything is just, it's very heavy in my head. But I know I'm a channeler. I channel everything I say, think, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I'm reading or not, or I just open my mouth and the words fall out. I'll say things I won't even, you know, I don't know how I know what I know. I just do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, you're like that yourself. I think you channel.
Probably.
Unless I'm wrong. I think you channel just about everything you say. You've got a very high vibration.
Really?
I don't know why I say that. I just, you know, this is just me. I just...
I'm just saying with the situation and everything, most people go through a lot of things like this a little sooner than you do or did. But, you know, it's one of those things you go over and go, okay, I don't know why I'm doing this. But you just get to the point where you don't really think about it anymore. And
I just do what
just
I do.
Just do it. Yeah. Because I was sitting around thinking, it's like the situation with this guy and stuff like that. I mean, the very first thing I got when you picked up on the whole thing where people saying, I don't think he's the one. And I got the opposite of that whole thing where it says, no. He is the one. It's the ideal.
I think so.
There's too much going on here. It's like the ideal worldly information interfering with spiritual information is coming through, that people are putting a worldly twist on it. And you have a tendency to think about long-distance relationships and that kind of thing, too, when we got to sit here and look at how we feel at the moment. What's going on at that moment when you talk to that guy, when you're talking on Yahoo and you see his face? You don't feel the distance between the two of you, because realistically there's not. That's a physical thing.
Right.
So I saw it for what it is, because I actually have a girl that I actually dated last summer that I've been really coming to terms with and realizing that I'm deeply in love with this woman, who was kind of funny. She actually lives in England, too. She lives in Ludlow.
Okay, I'm not familiar with Ludlow, but...
I have friends in different parts of England, so... I think it's actually closer to... She told me one time it was actually 2 hours from London. And then lately I've been getting a lot of information about going to London and going to England and actually going to this nice little place called Arthur Findlay College. So I was like, interesting. But it's one of those things of putting things in perspective, too, and say, okay, we could put a little twist on it. Oh, okay, I'm going to go over to England and meet this girl. Actually, the visions I've seen, she's a part of it. So, therefore, something had to happen before I actually went over there to actually have a situation where I'm actually experiencing this with somebody. But see, I look at the same thing too. People have a tendency to put a little twist on everything and go, okay, this can't be a real relationship because you haven't really physically seen each other. Really? Physically? You know, when you look through your eyes is a organic camera.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference between organic and a plastic one?
Night.
And so when you sit there and see it, when you have two people who are in a situation like that, that's like, she's real, I'm real. So whatever happens between the two of the people is real. It's the same thing with the situation you're talking about, too. You're real and so
right.
is he. So whatever happens between the two is real.
Right.
It's just the idea of paying attention and really being true to oneself and say, okay, is that something you want? If your answer is yes, then you allow yourself to do one thing. Don't control it, but actually focus on the outcome. This is what I want. If this was something that happened right now, how would it look? How would it play itself out? And how would I feel right this moment?
Right.
So
exactly.
I picture her. I got a couple of visions of us actually meditating together. And it's also the idea of listening to your guidance, too, because I was trying to take a picture, right? And put us both in the same picture, being together. And my angels and guides said, no, if you're going to be with her, then you would be experiencing this and you would be seeing this through your eyes. You wouldn't be in the picture. You'd be a part of it. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. They're always trying to put themselves in the picture or put themselves with something when they don't realize it's the idea of experiencing it. When a manifestation happens, we don't think about it. You know, when you meet
right.
somebody, you haven't met. I said, okay, in a situation like this, if I was sitting there focusing on this whole thing, I would picture me things falling into place. In some kind of scenario, I would picture myself being on an airplane and actually going to England to meet her. And what I would do is play out the outcome. What would the outcome be? It would be me coming down a freaking corridor or some kind of hallway at the airport with her standing right there and seeing her for the first time. Are you going to sit there and think about what you're going to think about what you're seeing? You're more likely, if this is something you've been waiting for a long time, you're going to be emotional. There's things that you're going
yeah.
to want to do. There's certain things you're going to be feeling. And those are the things you have to really focus on creating those. Because if you can create the feeling and what would actually be going on at that moment, then that moment would actually happen.
Oh, you'll get there.
Yes. But I actually...
People do not understand. They think that if somebody is not right there physically, you can't be in love with them, and that's not true.
No, it's not. It's
they
like
don't.
Looking at a situation like this, sweetie. Sometimes you get visions and you get all kinds of stuff that come through, okay? It's the same thing with you. It's the idea of looking at progression. And some people don't realize sometimes visions can do the same thing. When you're sitting there, I'm sitting there going, so I see the one meditation, well, it was like me and her meditating, and I was asking for a vision as in, that would cover the basics of what you want in a relationship, which would be, you know, somebody you could share things with. If you're spiritual, more than likely you'd be sharing
right.
meditations and spirituality. If you're a person who wants to have a family or extensions on such that, you would see those things too. So I was like, okay, can you actually have a visualization that would cover all those things? And I think in the process of doing that whole thing, I did. A visualization came to me and goes, poop, this is what it is. Okay, now do you see her? You're sitting across from each other. You're meditating. There's other things happening. As in, you can see the surroundings where it's almost like you're working together. You're sharing each other's lives. You're living together. You can almost feel a bond, as in you feel like you're married. And then you actually reach over to help her up, and you realize she's pregnant. So this covers the family part. And, you look at the situation and all you want to, but it's playing itself out. And then you take it one step further when you start putting in, what would happen if you was right there at that moment? Well, you'd probably feel the texture of her skin as you're helping her up. You would feel the warmth of her body as you were embracing her, as after picking her up. How would it be if you were meditating together? Experience that feeling and those emotions. And next thing you know, you got something going on. And then don't be surprised if you don't start having visions afterwards of things that would fill in the blanks, you know? Picture someone mm-hmm. showing up at your... I got a picture like this. I got a visualization of her actually showing up at my back door. And it was kind of... I told a friend of mine, I was like, it wasn't just the idea of showing up. She was wearing a certain kind of jacket, a certain kind of coat that I feel like would be her kind of personality and the whole thing of even the way she would be acting, where it would be something where she came to a conclusion or a realization that said, you know something? I have a fear of flying too. So instead, so this would be a prime example of going to the States to meet this person who I really want to be with and actually conquering two fears.
Nice.
Going somewhere that I've never been before to be with somebody I feel strongly pulled to actually find out what that's all about, and also feel the fear of flying. So, you know, it's like looking at trying to help people understand that when you start seeing these kind of things where it helps you to confront fears and those things, all you can see is that it's two people who do complement each other. When you get that kind
right.
of thing going on, you have a lot of people who come into the situation and go, okay, I don't think this is going to happen. First of all, the person is saying one thing. I have a tendency, maybe it's just me, but I have a tendency to focus on people's words and go, okay, this person says she thinks or she feels. Now, in the process of doing readings and stuff like that, I usually say I see, or I hear, or I know.
Right.
You see guidance coming through. But you don't say, I think. Well, maybe you do in the first part of the whole situation. Maybe we should put that in consideration too. But I'm just saying, if I'm asking a person about certain things and it doesn't resonate with me, and I feel like that person needs to anything, I need to step back from the situation and realize that I'm not their teacher. They're not asking me anything. They're not asking any kind of help or insights. So we step back and go, okay, what does this resonate with me? You know, if this person, let's say this person doesn't really feel confident what they're saying, the reflection could be that I should be more confident what I already feel. So we look at the situation with you and things going on, and plus we have a lot of people in the queue, and I just want to get on to answer some of the questions, and we don't.
Oh,
wanna,
sure.
We're not going to broom you. We're not going to broom you out of here. I'm just trying to say, with the situation
right.
you got going on, I just want you to really focus and embrace what you feel and what you really feel drawn to do. Because I actually feel like it's like when I see the picture, I see you popping into England, and your final destination is Ireland. And have you ever listened to Celtic Woman?
Oh yes, I do. I am according to. Jethro, first time we talked, he said I had to go to Connie Cork for something. It wasn't to kiss the Bonnie Stone, but I had to go to the Bonnie Stone. But my final destination, as much as I love Ireland,
mm-hmm.
because it's part of me, I want to go to the Highlands. And one day, something popped into my head, and I don't even know why, but it just said Oban. And I know Oban's in the Highlands, and that means I get to send a lot of scotch back to my cousin.
Yeah.
So I don't know why Oban, but that was what
yeah.
it was, because I feel... As much as I love Ireland, I am just as drawn to Scotland. I'm waiting. I have my calendars every year, one Ireland and one Scotland.
Well, that's just one of those things.
Like
go with
I say,
the flow.
I get homesick. Yeah,
I'm
go
saying.
With the flow, yeah, because I agree
also,
with you.
And you don't feel like you feel out of place here.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I call myself a misplaced Celt.
I'm just saying, with the situations, all the things that are going on around you, it's not when you look at the chaos and all that stuff's going on, if you really look at it in a different direction, like if all those people that were doing these things to you had arrows on your head, on their heads pointing in a certain direction, then you would see them as not mean people or any kind of situation. What you would see is they're just signs pointing you in the right direction to actually take yourself
right.
out of this place, because, see, the people don't understand you and you don't understand them. So the point is, do we have to? Do fish have to understand what water is to live? No, they just do.
Excuse me.
Oh, you're welcome.
No.
But I'm just saying, situation, trust yourself.
Okay, well, that was a new twist on it.
And just go with the flow. And best thing to do to tell you to do is when you really just let down where you can actually feel the weight off your shoulders, just ease and go to your feet, and then it's gone. Yeah, it's usually what happens is that's when opportunities start knocking and say, okay, this is a great house. They're going to ruin it. But see, they're not going to ever see it for what it really is until they experience it. They don't understand they got experience. They don't realize that sometimes signs are for us to actually go around or go under or go over. We don't always have to go through.
Right.
So,
but, you know, one of the people, one of the selectmen knows about, I mean, he's one person that should have some idea about this house because he's a cousin of mine. His mother and my father were cousins, so
oh,
he should know.
There's going to be a lot of realizations on this situation. I would ask for you to actually keep in touch with us and tell us how things are going to go. Cause
yes, I will, because I do think I'm going to. I think I'm going to win with that, because it's not my time yet to go. I think I'm going to win with that, and yes, I agree with what you said. I need to be absolutely. I need to pay attention to my own feelings as opposed to everybody else's. I don't need 50 million people to tell me what I already know.
It's true. So go with it.
And I will keep in touch with you.
All righty. Well, thank you for
calling. And you do the same with me because, okay, yeah, have a good one.
Oh, no problem.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Where was I? Okay, we lost that one. All right, guys. Let's go into our next caller. If I can get the thing to work. There we go. And we are looking at area code 267. Welcome to the show, and how are you? Okay. Area code 267. Welcome to the show. You are on the air. Hello? 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 Area code 267. You there? Let's see, I'm having trouble. Okay. You know, this can really drive you nuts. Push a button and something else happens, huh? Well, guys, we also want to sit here and focus on everything else, too, and say, yes, sorry, keep in touch, because we actually do private readings, too, as well. You know, just go to my website, which is actually www.psychicxjourneyman.com, and you'll see that we're doing readings for a 60-minute session, $33.33. For a 40-minute session, it's $22.22, and for a 20-minute session, it's $11.11. If you want to get a one-card reading, that's a 15-minute reading itself, and that is actually $9.99. If you're a person who wants more time and wants to do maybe a couple sessions, maybe a couple of readings, like you want to get a, if you have a webcam, you can call me on Skype and do a palm reading or an angel card reading, or you want to do a bunch of them all in one session. We do have 90-minute sessions. Actually, they're 90 minutes to 2-hour sessions, and they're $77.77. I also do life coaching, relationship counseling. We also do these things called 7-card pyramid foundation readings. They're really cool. They take about 40 minutes sometimes at the minimum, maybe a bit longer. But they're very insightful. If you want to take advantage of those readings, just give us a call at 740-500-8863 or call me on Skype, which is actually 740-601-9835. Or like I said before, contact me through my website, which is actually www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And I'm trying to figure out something here because it's like, I was trying to get the chat room to come up too, and for some reason it's not coming up either. Do we have another Mercury retrograde going on? Actually, things were going pretty good last night. Everything went smoothly. What happened between then and now? Who knows? But we don't want to feed into that whole thing. Actually, we want to sit there and focus on having nothing but a very blessed, positive, smooth-running show. And that's what I'm focusing on right now. So, folks, and take a deep breath. So, area code 718. Are you there? Let's see here. Area code 718. You're on the show. You're on the air. How are you? Okay. What the heck is going on? Let's do this. Everything should be working fine. Why is it not? Okay, let's look at the situation. Everything should be fine. Why is everything not working right? Vocals on. So, can anybody hear me? Okay, how about area code 718? Can you hear me? Are you serious? Okay, let's see, look at something here. Hello? Area code 718. Okay, let's sit here and look at the situation. Can you tune? Tune in to see if you can. Oop, I hit the wrong one. What the heck? I don't get it. Let's see what we can do. Here until we get picked up. Oh, Chane. I love Chane. We'll be right back. Are you there? I don't hear anything again, and I have no idea what the heck's going on because nothing's on mute, nothing's happening here. You know something? I'm about ready to write a really strong letter to Block Talk Radio telling them to get the heads out of their asses and start fixing this stuff, man. You know, right in the middle of a show, everything else is working fantastic. What the heck's going on? No one can hear me? All right. What's up with these callers? I don't know. We'll try it again, right? Let's see. 718. You're on the air. Welcome. I'm talking just fine. So, why can't I hear people calling in? The last one came in nice and clear. I don't know what's going on. We had the same freaking problem last night too. Where all of a sudden it was like no one heard me. It was just static, and all of a sudden it just came in. I know. I can hear myself. I'm freaking out. Okay. Area code 910, how are you? Can you hear me? Oh, that's weird. Hello? Oh, can you? Well, how come I can't hear you? Are you talking? Well, so area code 910, can you hear me?
Yes.
So how come I can't pick up on 718?
I have no idea. Unless they have mute on their phone, maybe. I don't know. But if you're hearing me okay, then I'm hearing you okay.
Oh, that crazy man.
I don't know. Maybe that person just wasn't meant to talk to you at this moment.
I guess.
I'm just saying.
Were you on here last night? Last night, everybody said that there for a while, all they heard was static.
Nope, I wasn't on last night.
And all of a sudden, it just kicked in, and next thing, everybody heard me.
Oh. I was next door till like 4 o'clock this morning.
Really?
That's why I'm so tired. But, yeah, everything seems to be working.
So, did you get your thing done for the next magazine come out in February?
No.
You haven't done it yet?
Uh-uh.
I think
I come up with the title, though, so that's a start.
No, I was there looking at this thing, and I didn't realize, okay, I'm looking at the date, it's the 8th. I'm sitting there going, when are these things due again?
Middle of the month or something like that.
Right, so I was like, ooh.
And don't forget to get your stuff together. If you need her to create you advertisement, make sure you don't forget to communicate with her on that so she can get that done.
Okay.
Yeah. So that way you get it at least in February.
Yeah, because I was trying to get this thing all together, too, and send those cards to you, too. And I was like, what the heck's going on, man? There's a lot of things delay right now. I don't know why. But
maybe there's a reason. You know, we're coming up to the full moon, so I don't know.
Yeah, I was actually going to find out when the new moon is.
That is the 23rd or something like that. Hold on, I'll tell you. It's something like that. New moon. New moon.
That's crazy.
January. Ooh, house 12, full moon got in a strange mid. What? The orange moon. How's that?
Blue moon.
Hold on. Cancer full moon. The start of. That's one heck of a red moon. Where the heck was that taken at?
Someone took a picture of the red moon?
Multiple exposures made the collective enough light for the image that would otherwise be evident into the eye. However, they took pictures and you would normally see. But so January 9th is full moon. I don't want full moon. I want, I said new moon.
Yeah, I was actually going to tell that lady before she when I finally got her, I was saying, well, we
need
to go
yeah,
next week.
Yeah, I was right. The 23rd, January 23rd, Monday, January 23rd, is a Chinese new moon. Changes for the year to year. Chinese new this year is the year of the dragon.
Oh, I was reading this one thing here. I was one have faith and listening to oneself, and I was looking up 132 because I was sitting there talking to her on the phone, and I just haven't looked down. It was 11:32, and something told me that I should be looking up the number 132. So I did. It said most stories of ascended masters such as Jesus, Moses, Buddha talk about their incredible faith, which caused miracles to occur. Well, this number is a message from those masters who are helping you boost your faith in heavenward to see the same thing. Miracles are happening right now as we speak. So what are you going to do about it? There's nothing to do about it. Just embrace it. Because it was last night, I was actually reading. I said, you know, we got this prompting to actually read all the ones that end with two. I got like a 1-2-2. It says, stay filled with faith because heaven is working behind the scenes to help your manifestations appear. The more positive your thoughts and feelings, the faster and better this manifestation occurs. And a friend of mine was like, someone said to me and said, oh, so was you prompted to keep that going? Yeah, I was. I was prompted to read all the twos. And then the 112 was faith and optimism are the two factors that unlock doors to all your desires. And I was like, you see the progression in the whole thing? It was just like incredible. All your prayers and positive thoughts are sprouting into your desire, your desired form. Give any worries to God and stay filled with faith as you'll soon see a positive outcome.
There you go.
So I was like, you know, and then we had 92. 92 says, as you keep the faith that everything is unfolding perfectly with your divine life purpose, you more clearly see and understand the steps that are best for you to take. So I was like, we had this story before. I was there talking to you about some things that, and some information I got, and then I started seeing all those things, and all of a sudden I just started freaking out, you know, going, okay. So I get the impression what I should be doing is listening to oneself, because I do get angry with people who sit there and some psychics who say, you can't reach yourself, so therefore give me a call, I need the money, you know. And I'm just like, that's what I hear. I'm sorry, that's what I hear. Because it's like, well, I sit there and put it in perspective and said, okay, what do you want to do? Just service, get people service. When you start focusing on those kind of thoughts, and like with the ideal, with what you want with your situation of a certain particular person and my situation, what we really want, honestly, is just the ideal to get back what we're putting out. But it's also one of those things that we got to understand that in the process of putting out so much, we can't forget to give ourselves some of that love too. And when we start focusing on everybody else and what's going on, what's up, you know, confusion setting in, that kind of stuff. The reason it is because you're not supposed to be there. You're tapping into someone else's confusion of them working things out when you should be focusing on yourself and say, oh, how do you feel right now? I feel great. See, there is no confusion. So I think you had to call in tonight just to hear that.
Maybe.
Oh, see, she's doubting me already. So let me say one thing too, Lori. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up or nothing, but I really appreciated your help. And I was
not even in bed yet. I just sat on my bed when my Skype went off on my phone. So, see, you caught me in the nick of time. And, yes, you probably did have to tell me, but, you know, I'm not really struggling with anything tonight, really. But something did happen tonight because we had conversations, some things were said, and he got quiet again. So I'm like, because I realize how damaged he is tonight. He doesn't realize his self-worth at all. Because when I said something to him, he goes, well, now I realize that, or something like that. And I'm like, really? How do you not know this already? But, you know, it's just kind of I don't want to go all the way into details, but it just made me realize something. And I think he realized something more about me and how I look at him. He didn't, he just, by his responses, and then he got quiet, and I'm like, so I said, oh, I did it again, didn't I? Because he got quiet. So I just left it at that. So that's when he shuts down.
Well, sometimes.
He's not shutting down. He's like stepping back and processing, I think is more of a better term.
I think he's just shutting up. I just don't feel like talking. Or it's like have you ever been in one of those situations where people say something to you? All you want to do is listen. You don't want to say nothing. You don't want to put any kind of input into the whole thing. You just don't want to say. You just don't feel like doing anything at that moment. And I think
part of him healing, though. He just doesn't know what to say.
That's true too. But I'm just saying, with the situation and healings and all this other stuff,
yep.
I don't think we need to really focus on those things, because if we do, then it's going to be a constant healing. It's the idea of saying, okay, he's doing his thing. He is a gift to the world. He's a gift to me. So therefore, just leave it alone and step back myself and say, hey, this moment's good.
I know, and I did that. About a week ago.
What was this thing?
I was freaking out a little bit, huh?
You sent me this link.
Oh, that was the... that website with a Chinese...
I know, but it's crazy because it's actually got something where it's from the UK. Areas including Waltham Abbey. Or maybe I don't know if I'm saying that right or not, but I'm sitting here going, another reference for me, I think, as well.
I just ran across it and sent it. I didn't even go all the way through it.
I can see your footprints, yeah.
The fact that it's the Year of the Dragon, I sent it to Belle because she's got a lot of stuff in her house, because she's got her house is like feng shui and she follows the moon and the Year of the Dragon. So that's kind of like...
Watch how you follow the moon. You might run into the railroad sign. Boom. Anyway.
Hey, that's funny.
No, I actually did that one time, but I've been drinking too much too. I ran into one of those big round yellow signs that they have by the railroad crossings. I was walking up to the stars going, isn't that just gorgeous? Bang! So, you know, it was one of those things, wake up, wake up, wake up. I hit the ground and I'm sitting there going, I'm actually getting a better look from this angle.
FYI, I want to tell you something. I don't mean to change subject, but just thought of this. You know how we've been talking and that if he keeps focusing on certain aspects of these fears, he's going to put it into play? Which that came out to be with her pressing charges or whatever. Yesterday, he came to find out or realize that she just moved. He's out in the country, can't be found and be left alone. And he goes to go into town and drives by, and there's people moving into this house 6 miles down the road. It's a house he drives by every day, and it happens to be the same house he looked at before he moved into the other one. She actually moving into that house. And I'm like, that's too ironic. It's just too ironic. How did she end up in that house? It's a long ways from where she came from. And he's like, because he was just saying the other day to his boss that he's afraid that she may start stalking him. So I had to give him a long talk about watching on what he says, because what he's saying is coming to play.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of irritating to hear people talking, and they're like, why is these things happening to me? Because you keep affirming them? You keep talking about them?
I told him. I finally said, you need to let go. Let go. Turn it over completely and quit focusing on her. The more you focus on her, the more her drama you bring into your life. Trust me, I did that when I was with Chris.
It's like looking at a situation like I told a lady yesterday. I said, I want you to do one thing. And she goes, what's that? I said, just look at yourself and look in the mirror and say, this is the very first day of my life. Nothing's happened before. And nothing's happened yet, except for this moment. Let go of the freaking past and say it doesn't exist. Those people don't exist. They're no longer... I mean, think about this. Robin's not a part of his life.
Yep.
She's not. Chris is not a part of your life. Do you think about the man all the time? Do you always think, he might just show up my back door? No.
The more I don't think about him all the time like I used to.
Well, it's like, look at these situations. I was telling you before about the situation I'm going through. You know, I think about her every once in a while, but I'm not trying to figure anything out anymore. Because I just, you know, it's like listening to one reading I did for the lady. I said, it's not your job to figure him out. You want to be a therapist or a girlfriend? And she said, I want to be a girlfriend. And I just kind of clicked with me saying, you know, what do you want to be? I want to be what I am. A caring, loving person, be with this person as in a relationship. So I focus on the relationship and that kind of stuff. And even to the emphasis on the whole thing, romantic. It's like looking at a situation, listening to someone talk and say, my friend said being romantic is being a child. And I'm sitting there going, Well, maybe you should take the little child who told you that and tell them to go home to their mommy. Because romance is real. And when you have two people who come together who have the same opinions about romance, you're probably going to have the most intense romantic relationship you've ever had. And that's what the key is, of looking at people and understanding and saying, you know something? You're looking for this picture. And when you look at the person you're with and they're not giving you what you want, doesn't this go against the picture that you have in your mind? What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You're settling. Here's a guy, this one woman I talked to yesterday, she was in her hand, this guy's really good. I mean, it's almost like all the things you said, that's what I've been looking for. I said, yes, dear, but what's the one thing that's popping out that's the sign that he's not? And she goes, well, he is an ass. Yeah, exactly. Why is he being an ass? I can tell you why. Because he has a tendency to be defensive. And this is his way of being defensive. But if we go back and look at our list and our picture, we're looking at someone who's emotionally available, who wants me, unconditionally loving me. This guy keeps looking at you and saying mean things to you, and then he wants you to buy things for him. Okay, does he want you? Or does he want? Or is he with you because of what you can do for him? I mean, you look at the situation, it goes against your picture. Don't you want that picture? That picture?
Yeah.
And she's like, yes, I do. I said, well, what's that tell you about the situation of this guy? You know, he's asking you for a laptop of all things. I said, are you guys dating? She goes, I don't know. That's another thing. You don't know. I think in situations like that, if you don't know, you're not. Exactly. So therefore, for someone to come at you and ask you for a laptop, it's my birthday. Whoop-de-freaking-do, dude. You know, like Janet Jackson said, what did you do for me lately, huh? Anyway, I was just saying with the situation of looking at these things realistically, when we say compromise, if you compromise one thing in your picture, that's a compromise. You can justify it all you want to, but that's exactly what it is. So when you sit and look at it realistically and go, okay, what do you want? That's what we all need to take a step back from time to time and say, okay, what do we want? Are my wants and needs and desires still the same as they was 2 months ago? You know, sometimes you find out they're not. When you look at the situation, it could also be working against you on trying to actually connect with the person you're supposed to be with. It's the idea of being really honest with yourself and asking yourself, who am I? If you're a loving, caring person and you're not following your heart, then you're lying to yourself. And you need to sit there and look at that situation and understand, why'd I attract this guy? He keeps lying to me. More than likely, you're lying to yourself. Like attracts like. So let's take a look at the situation, guys. You want to be happy? Then make a declaration to yourself. One thing, okay? Don't do any kind of resolutions this year. Just say one thing to yourself. This is the year that I decided to be totally happy.
Hey, to be me.
Yeah. Yeah, realistically, when we sit to say, because I was telling a lady yesterday, I said, we got good and we got evil. Now, they have many names, but it's still, when you look at the core, it's good and it's evil. It's positive, it's negative. It can be anything else, okay? You know, it's like make a choice to be yourself. If you be yourself, be that total spirituality, that spiritual person you are, that means you're unconditional love. Because God created you the same way, unconditionally. So therefore, it's what you're looking for. You know? So ask yourself, do you love yourself? Because if you catch yourself saying, I'm too fat, you don't love yourself unconditionally. You need to work on that. You need to look in the mirror and go, okay, who cares?
Love yourself as you are, no matter how you are, because it's all within you. That's all that matters.
How do you know? Maybe the Pillsbury Doughboy is your boyfriend. And you guys can all go get on a slim.
Well, that'd be a nice, cushy hug.
That'd be a lot of. Oh, never mind.
Shut up. Just leave it at where I put it. Come on. Just a nice, cushy hug. Oh, my God.
I like the hugs, yes. That's what I was sort of telling the lady before. She was like, I don't have such great self-esteem. I'm like, well, if you keep repeating that, you know, your self-esteem will get better and better and better, but it will never be what you want it to be because you don't realize that you can be. You always think you have to be less than. And that's really I guess that's one of those things that the worldly way. Because I was there talking to her, and she was saying that, I had this reading earlier where the lady was telling me, she goes, this lady told me that this guy is on the verge of having a nervous breakdown. The situation will never turn around unless you go out with somebody else and make him jealous. And I'm sitting there going, this was a reader? And she goes, yeah. I said, you know something? I really get tired of people who claim to be readers, and I'm not saying they're not, but there's like a combination of worldly and spiritual. They kind of like wrap it together and say, okay. But, you know, how can I sit here? I told the lady, I said, I feel like you got basically told a bunch of BS. And I said, the reason I feel that way is because the world, anytime someone would say anything about making somebody jealous, can't be sincerely wanting to lead someone. I mean, let's look at it this way, too. If the guy is a person who is extremely jealous in the first place, do you think that making him jealous is going to actually work in your favor? And plus, she also said the guy's on the verge of a nervous breakdown. This would kind of like add to the freaking mix, wouldn't it? Maybe she might actually be the catalyst that drives him over the edge. Personally, when I was going to focus on the situation, I don't feel like everything's a choice. I think nervous breakdowns are people who go and extremely escape. Anyway, I think we need to look at these situations of a person who needs to focus on what she wants. And it's like reaffirm, revisualize, start looking at certain things. Are you happy in your life? Are you too busy analyzing the guy that you're with or the woman you're with? And I guarantee if you are, you're not focusing on your vision. You're not focusing on the outcome of what you want. You're trying to understand the other person, thinking that maybe, some sense of the word, if I understand what's going on with them, I can manipulate it in the way I want it to.
Oh, that's a better way of us understanding, but that's exactly right.
Yeah, so I sit here and say, stop thinking about out there, because what's in within you caused what's going on out there. So if you want to get a change in life, change the things around you, you got to go within yourself. And I, you know, people sit here and say this. I've heard this before, too. People go, I've done that. Well, do it again. Spirituality is a constant. It's not something you do for 6 months. This is not one of those freaking 6-month courses at the college, you know. I got my degree. Spirituality and your journey is a lifetime commitment, and it's also a lifetime learning experience. We're constantly learning things, okay? So let yourself learn and let yourself go and put the things out there. Do you know something, Lori? I was talking to some lady last night who said, I keep getting this vision. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I should be going to London, England. I'm like, hold up, what? And I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, you know something? If I would sit back and really honestly listen to everybody, my friends and that kind of stuff, I would never need to go to any other psychic and never pay another dime. Just because I don't. I haven't in a very long time. I've actually thought about it, but then again, I have these kind of realizations that keep me from going out there and doing that. Now, I'll go, I do from time to time go on King and in these other places, and I will spend money, but I also believe what you put out there, you get back tenfold.
Yep.
So I'm just, you know, putting out there, and I find a psychic that I really do see that a lot of, you know, either myself or just look at them as being sincerely helping other people, and I'll go get a reading from them. I'll spend the money, and then I'll notice my phone starts ringing off the hook. It's one of those things, you know, have faith in what you do and have faith in the people you work with, but also the situation. If you're out there working for yourself, try one visualization. It's the best visualization I've ever seen, and then the best one I've ever seen work, where you just sit there and instead of focusing on the world as any kind of competition, tell yourself, you're the only person in the world who does this kind of work. And then sit there and visualize everybody coming to you. Not because you're the only person, but you're the best at what you do. And also picture everybody out there and say, I'm very successful, very abundant. I have an unlimited flow of money and clients. I have a very successful business. I'm a very successful person. And throw in there, like I put, I'm a very successful, very compassionate psychic medium spiritual advisor. Whatever you do, throw it in there too. And then sit there and say, and I see everybody else as successful and as magnetic, who's also attracting everything they need and want and desire, and they have constant success in their life, just like I do. Because when you do it that way, the more successful the world is, the more successful you are. It's like everybody says, the economy sucks. Really? What's the economy? Might sound like a joke to everybody saying, well, you know what the economy... No, I don't want you to explain to me what the economy is. I'm saying it doesn't exist. Okay? It's one of those things of when you feed into things, they get more powerful. When you don't feed into them, they don't. But see, the key here is the idea of focusing energy into what you do want to happen and then sit back and watch what happens. There's that number again, 322. I think we need to reinforce that 322 to everybody out there who's listening. But I'm just saying, when we sit here and think about what we're doing, think about all the bad things that are happening right now and ask yourself, how much energy are you putting into them? Now, all you need to do is like a freaking, it's like a, imagine yourself sitting on a railroad track, right where the tracks change. You don't like the way, you don't like the direction the train's going in? Then there's a lever right there. But you pull it, and it changed the course of your life. One track's marked, don't, you know, one track saying, I don't know, but success is waiting. And the other track says, more the same. Which track are you going to take? I know which track I'm going to take.
The one that's in the right direction?
Yeah, the one that says, it's the unknown, but success is waiting.
That's right, there you go.
This 322 for everybody out there who's listening is, this is a strong message from the Ascended Masters urging you to keep the faith and thus experience faith's magical magnetic power, which draws to you every good thing you desire. So when we sit and look at that situation, ooh, let's see what we got in the queue. Well, we do have some people in the queue that want to talk to you, want to talk to me. I think you want to go to bed, right?
Oh yeah, I didn't get much sleep last night, and I'm beat. So definitely.
No problem. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
And thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
You have a great night.
Yeah.
Sweet dreams. When you go to bed tonight, seriously, take the guy you're talking about. We won't mention his name, but I'm just saying, when you right before you go to sleep, ask yourself, what was like with him and you. What is the real outcome that you want to see? If it's marriage, sharing your life together, however that is, imagine that before you go to sleep. And then try it, and then tell your angels to help you remember in the morning the dreams you had, okay?
Okay, I'll do that.
Alrighty.
I'll do exactly that, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Alrighty, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Let's try this again, guys. We're going to All right, let's go on to, let me see here. How about, try it again. Okay,
hello?
Eric. Yes, area code 402. Welcome to the show. How are you, and what's your name?
Hi, my name is Ashley.
Ashley? What's that?
Yeah, I'm calling. Oh, I said my name's Ashley Cervantes. I'm calling. I'm not really sure what the show is about, but I seen it was about, like, relationships. And I was just wondering if you see how my relationship is going. Like, if I don't know how to explain it. Do you see, like, a long-lasting relationship or... if it's the right guy, the person I am is the right person for me.
Okay. Well, so, you know, with the situation you're talking about, first of all, could you tell me what his name is?
What? Who's his name?
Uh-huh.
His name is Eloy.
Eloy.
Yeah.
Interesting name. You know, with the situation we're talking about, one thing I want to ask you real quickly, too, is how do you feel about the situation with him and you? How does it resonate within your heart? Not what you're thinking.
Oh, I love him in my heart.
Okay.
I do. We have we're about to have our second child together. It's just sometimes it seems like stuff gets rough between us.
Hello? Yeah, we lost her. What the heck happened there? Interesting. Okay, well, let's hope she calls back in. Area code 716. Hello, how are you? I wasn't sure if you wanted to be on the air or ask a question or nothing, but I just thought I'd check in with you. Are you there? Guess not. Oh, my gosh. Area code 904. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That's a good question. I feel like packing my bags and going out to the country and spending a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But besides that, I feel very happy. You know, seriously, I look at the situation of saying, it's amazing how when you ask questions and you're looking for guidance on how to proceed, it's just amazing how some of the things that come to you make so much sense.
Yeah.
You know, like seeing an episode of Medium, and all of a sudden it just resonates with you, that you're just you're going, okay, should I really listen to this? Because it's starting to play out, and it's kind of a thing where it's like a woman who doesn't trust somebody around them, and then they have a realization. And I'm sitting there going, should I take it seriously? And then I also started noticing that, you know, way back here, we've been seeing 222s. And so I was watching the episode, and all of a sudden I look up, and on the side of this person's house on this episode, the first three numbers of their house number is 222. So I was like, I guess we should take a notice of that whole thing and watch how it's falling out. And as soon as I did, it made perfect sense of what was going on, almost like it was giving me play-by-play what's going to happen, what's or even, how would we put this? It was a person going through a realization, which was happening right now, which was like it was opening. It's like looking at the thing all unfold, and all of a sudden we see a gate open, which means all these things are going to happen up to the point where the gate opens up. The reason the gate is opening up is because this is your life, the thing you've been focusing on, the thing you've been hoping to manifest. There it is. Boom. But it was a progression as you flow toward it. As you're flowing toward it and you go through the fence, as you go through the gates, you realize you're living it right now. And a lot of times realizations with manifestations don't happen until you look back at it and go, whoa, it happened because I'm living it right now. So that's what I'm saying with your situation. I think. So, you called before, right?
A while back. I was on with you last night until it went off the air.
Oh, don't you love that kind of thing, man?
Well, you were talking with someone, and, you know, I sent you a little message today, you know.
You did?
Yes. You know, on your Keen site, but I think maybe I wasn't in the right place for that, but you still got the message, though.
Okay.
You know, I
on
just sent you...
On Keen?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, if you... Go ahead.
You're very patient. You're very patient.
Well, thank you.
Passion, you listen.
Yeah, the one lady I was talking to at the beginning of the show, she's very intense, very energy, very energetic. But I was like looking at the situation and saying, you know, she just needed to trust herself more and just let go. And I've had a lot of readings tonight where I was actually doing some readings before I actually went on the show. And I was just like, it's amazing when you sit and talk to people and they're all wanting to know about the guy and what he's up with and if he has a girlfriend, or even the guys are looking at the girls going, is she seeing somebody else? And they're thinking realistically that if the person is not seeing anybody, I got a chance. They don't realize that sometimes if they're with somebody else, you still got a chance too with the situation, not realizing that sometimes when people are with other people, especially if they're out there. Oh, I had a lady, she said this guy is going out with somebody who looks just like me, who acts just like me, why does he want to be with me? Well, I said, well, dear, don't take it personal. Look at the bright side. He might look at her and realize she's not you and realize where he does want to be at. Sometimes people need need all these little things that they're going through to come to those realizations just because we don't. You know, everybody goes through certain things.
Yeah, their values, you know, they don't value themselves.
Mm-hmm. And they have to go through certain things to get that value back. And they're like, look at the situation. Do you like yourself? That's the easiest thing that people ask people and go, well, I can lose a little weight. Then you don't. Well, that's kind of harsh. I said, no, I actually took that from you. So once you look at the situation, you're having trouble with your weight problem, look at the situation. You can still be a fantastic gift to the world and still be 10 pounds overweight.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to look at the situation going, okay, you are in there. You know, the body has a tendency to be out of balance in certain things. And maybe it's the ideal, the reason your body's acting the way it is because you haven't taken the time to go within yourself to discover who you really are. And then that realism that you just found out will reflect through your body, which actually has a tendency to change accordingly. That's how it works.
Yeah.
So if you have a bad back, I think it's because you have a tough time having a standing up. You have no backbone, so you have a bad back. I actually had this one girlfriend who was like that. She goes, I have this back problem, which, and I try to heal her and try to send energy up and down her back all the time. And I was like, how come this is not working? It always works. I had somebody who was actually working against me who wanted to hang out and hang on to those insecurities and wanted to be a person who could make a decision or commit. So we have to take that into consideration, too. That's how, you know, in order for a relationship to work, both people have to be working together. Not the idea of making each other happy. It's the idea of being happy with each other. What the heck?
You know, maybe it's my zodiac sign. I mean, I've always had a low tolerance. I ain't got time to try to figure stuff out. You know, I'd rather you go on about your business and leave me alone.
Well, sometimes, actually, realistically, when you look at the situation of spirituality, it's the idea of just being. And realizing that, in the process of realizing who you are, like I was reading the Bible, and we heard the one part in there where it talks about the birds, the animals. They don't reap and they don't sow. They just are. And everything seems to be fine with them. Everything happens. You know, when things happen, if a bird drops out of the nest and dies, they look at it as, that's what happens.
Right.
They don't get emotional. They just go on and realize there's three other kids in here that need attention. And they go that way. And it's like, our world is like, if there's some, I mean, I've heard people say, well, this, and they, to find out that someone lost their kid, someone snatched a kid, and the people are like, they're not acting like they should. I'm going to ask you a question. It's like, how should they act? According to how you would act in a situation like that? If you're putting that kind of perception on somebody else, and wonder how come you get a bad reaction from people going, what the hell are you doing? That's opinionated. That's not a person who's listening and looking at the situation going, people have a tendency to grieve and deal with situations in so many ways.
Uh-huh.
I don't think there should be anybody sitting there saying you shouldn't. I think they should be looking at the facts. Because seriously, if you have a person saying, well, this person's not reacting like they should to, so that's suspicious.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's suspicious. Why is it suspicious? Is it really suspicious because they've done something wrong? Or is it just because it hasn't happened according to how you perceive things? That's
uh-huh.
a difference. That's what I'm saying. People should be open-minded and say, okay, this person's grieving. Okay, I know for a fact when my grandmother died, I didn't shed a tear. But it doesn't mean I don't care about her. It just means I see things in a different way. I told a friend of mine, I was like, I think sometimes when you really experience a spiritual lifestyle and realize that the ideal of emotions controlling you, you stop doing that. And you realize emotions are there to for you to express certain things that happen in your life.
On that a little bit last night about mourning for 30 days and, you know.
Get over it. Get over it. And, and if people say, what's going to mean? I said, why does it mean? Why do you think you need to sit there and wallow? What is it really accomplishing? You know, you're here on this planet to accomplish a lot of things. And it could be happening right now, too. And when you're sitting there going, well, my grandmother died. Yeah, she passed on. She's having a ball. She's doing what she's doing. She's, you know, living her destiny, I guess you could say. But you're not.
Yeah.
You're living her. Yeah. You're living her life. Because you feel like, we've heard this a lot of times, people saying, you know, these people, their life was cut so short. How do you know that? You know, you're sitting, like a doctor say, well, if you smoke, you shorten your life. Well, first of all, don't you have to have a parameter here that tells you how long my life was in the first place? We had a lady who lived 102 years old, drank whiskey, and smoked cigars. I guess she was going to live to be 120. You know, if you added up all the years that she smoked, they say you take off so many years every year you smoke, right? Well, if that's the case, then she should have lived to be 120 years old. So, see, it's all these assumptions that people don't realize. One thing I don't think doctors realize, I'm not saying all of them, but I'm just saying the ones who have a tendency to want to put a death certificate on your ass when they say you got cancer, and they just like their attitude and their demeanor makes you feel like you're dead right then and there.
Right.
And I was like, you know, if you're going to be a person who's in the, as they call it, the healing field, I think you should be in a healing way of looking at people and going, you have this certain ailment within your body. And then say something very positive, as in realizing that, you know, the human spirit can endure anything. But it can also, you know, it's like that. I know people are on different paths, and when you hit them in a certain way, and we had that one guy who was found out he had cancer, and he was dead a week later.
Right.
You know, he just checked out, and we don't know why. And maybe it doesn't really matter why. He just felt like he needed to do this. I've actually seen Indians do this too. They just get this thought in their head that they're going to die, and they pretty much will themselves to die. So I'm just saying, if somebody could have some kind of input in a positive way, couldn't we also will ourselves to heal ourselves and to live?
Right. You know, Pablo Dalva said years ago, and I'll never forget it.
That's kind of funny how you say that too. You know that?
Huh?
I said it's kind of funny how you say that too. That's my mom's favorite guy. She loves that guy. She listens to him all the time. She's got CDs and DVDs.
Yeah, you know, when he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, you know, more than probably 8 years ago, he said he didn't tell nobody but his wife and maybe so-and-so. And he just started doing the right things, you know, drinking, changing his diet, because he said he didn't need nobody trying to help him die.
I said, yeah, because I was telling this one thing, was like, you know, chemotherapy, there's got to be another solution to the whole thing. I was actually thinking, it was kind of funny how this vision came to me, that that when we go and we go get a tan, or we do any kind of skin work or anything like that, it's not the sun that we see that's actually causing it to happen. It's actually ultraviolet rays that are actually causing it, which we can't see. And I was thinking about, all of a sudden it was kind of funny how I was led into a different direction of chemotherapy, that I think they're right about how to use radiation to kill cancer, but they're using the wrong type. That's very destructive to you. There's also different, there's lower forms of radiation that can do the exact same thing, except what they're doing. But see, with our society, it has a tendency to, if it works, to keep doing it. And my mom was talking about this too, where she was talking about, if you really talk to some of these doctors, if they were in the same situation you were in, they wouldn't do chemotherapy. And that's the thing. That's the thing we have to think about too. If your doctor wouldn't do it, but he's going to recommend you to do it, I would start asking myself, what's the best thing to do in this situation? Because there's also been things that they're actually been studying right now with people who actually have gotten cancer, who basically have not done anything. Their bodies have healed themselves. There was one lady who had a cancer tumor on her forehead, and she said it's happened to her many times. And she said she was sitting there washing her face. She had this tumor on her forehead, right above the eyebrow on the right side, and all of a sudden it's like it just fell in the sink. Mm-hmm. Her body rejected it, and it healed the skin up to where you couldn't even tell it was even there. And she said this happens all the time. She said the only thing that scares her was there will be one day it won't do that. And I told her, you know, it's like you want to sit there and tell the lady. Well, you're sitting there nonchalantly thinking it's going to keep doing this. So why don't you just take it one step further? And maybe it's another lesson for someone to learn that your body's doing this. So therefore, maybe you can take it one step further to actually make your body cancer-proof. There's just too much technology out there telling us all kinds of stuff that we're feeding into these things. You know, there was one study that said that basically all these tumors are all in everybody. And it just depends on how and what you do at that time with certain things that are going to either feed into it or you'll never have those happen again. Or they'll never amount to anything. And I'm sitting there going, but is that true? See, that's what we're saying. We listen to a freaking doctor say some things. I've seen people go, yep, that's what I do too. I'm there going, you are so full of it. You don't realize how much you're working against yourself and saying, do you really know that for a fact? Like I've said to everybody else, focus on your heart right now and ask yourself, how does that resonate with you? Is it the truth or is it just someone's opinion? You're going to find out when you listen to a lot of doctors in situations. That's why I like watching House. When I first started watching that show, that's how it works. That's how it really works. They're trying, you know, they have certain things they go on. And it's all a theory. and 9 out of 10 times with a lot of things, you know, the theory that they have pans out good and you cure it. But on the other hand, sometimes it doesn't take that long. They're trying to figure it out, going through certain things, but it's all theories, theories. That's why we always have that term that says practicing. I want to go to a doctor who doesn't practice.
You know? Right, right.
He knows exactly what he's doing. But there are doctors like that, too. You walk up to them, this is what it is, and it always is. And I think sometimes if you look at a lot of things that are very, people are really successful in life are the ones who listen to their intuition and the guidance and everything comes through them. Because there are some doctors that were actually being criticized before they do surgery. They were actually praying.
Right.
What are you doing? Don't you have faith in yourself? Well, it's like this. I just do the physical.
I want a praying doctor.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I'm just saying, one doctor was saying, I do the physical part. I do the cutting. I do everything else. But there's been something proven that with that kind of just prayer itself, that people have a tendency to heal and recuperate quicker. So the guy's actually focusing on the well-being of his patient, not the freaking padding of his wallet. You know what I'm saying? We got 90 seconds left in the show. I just want to take this time to actually, we're going to continue talking to you. You're in Florida, right?
Yes, I'm your girl from your favorite city.
Oh, Jacksonville. Anyway, so I just want to thank everybody who called in. I'm sorry for some of the difficulties. I don't know what was going on. Because it seems like I think Lori had it right. There's some people that we're destined to talk to and some people are not, and the universe has a tendency to work that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think there's people would have called back in. And we actually have another number in the queue too, 956. I just want you to stay right where you're at. We're going to get to you. Yes, we're going off the air in about 60 seconds, but I'm going to get to everybody and answer everybody's questions. So you stay right there, and we'll definitely get to you, I promise. And like I said before, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love where love is given. Thank you, and join us tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be back here doing the same thing. Talk to you all then. And let's get back to our callers, which I just lost track. There we go. Whew, 31 seconds. You know.
Yeah, because when I perused earlier, I didn't see you coming on, you know, until tomorrow, even though I thought you were coming on tonight. So I was doing some other things, and then I went back through. And it's like, he's on. You know, so I don't know what that was about.
Well, last year, Block Talk Radio had some really technical difficulties where they actually gave us a percentage off on our monthly fees. And, so I think it's one of those things that they also did a bunch of upgrades and stuff, and everything's changing at the first. And just, you know, constant maintenance and that kind of stuff has a tendency to really interfere with these things. And so that's all I can think of, because today I was actually trying to get on here. And I was even thinking about moving it back to 11:30 instead of 11. And for some reason, it didn't happen that way because I couldn't get this thing to even let me on.
Right, because at 11 o'clock, I didn't see you in the slot. So I was, you know, perusing my emails and stuff, and then I decided to go back, and then I saw your thing, so I'm going to on air, or on now, or whatever it says.
Because it says here that I think it's like, I don't know what that, but on here, like where it says episode information that I look at, it says we come on at 8 o'clock. Well, 8 o'clock is California time.
Right.
And I've actually marked this thing 3,000 times Eastern time. And I don't know. You know, I just figured if I'm not in California, so I figured it should be telling me that it's 11. On my, when I go to my page, where I do all the work and stuff to put these things together, it says 11. So it tells me 11 o'clock on that kind of format. When I go back in my archives and that kind of stuff, it tells me the shows that were on 11, that kind of thing. And, go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say that if you sent me a message through Keen, Keen's having problems too. I actually tried to look on my transaction page because I had some money that was coming out, and I was supposed to be getting some money in my checking account. And I was like, well, let me go back in and check it out. I went back here and checked it out, and it says it's unavailable. And it's been unavailable for a week. I even went to customer service and asked them about the whole thing and said, what's up? And they go, we don't know. We actually have people looking at that. And I'm like, well, I'd like to get an idea because I could have swore that there should be money coming out and I should be getting these deposits in my freaking account. And they're like, well, they shouldn't be late. I love when they say they shouldn't be late when they know
right.
they are going to be, you know. But I was looking at that last lady when I was sitting in the 402 area code, and I was like, 402 says God and the angels are helping to increase your faith, which is the magic ingredient in divine manifestation. And I was, and she's the one I got cut off when she was talking about this relationship. And it is kind of amazing lately if people call me up and ask me about relationships, and they get kind of irritated when I ask them flat out, well, how do you feel about it? How does it resonate with you? And they're like, well, I'm calling you to find out. I said, that is a problem. You shouldn't have to call anybody to really find out about anything if it is what it is.
Okay.
I'm just saying, the more you trust yourself, the more you trust what happens.
I mean,
you know, when you walk into, I mean, I've walked into people and I've said, walk up to a doctor and he goes, this is what's going on with my life. And I said, bullshit. And the guy's like, what? I said, you know, I've learned a long time ago to trust my intuition and my guidance. And it's saying that you are just so full of it. You know, why don't you tell me what's really up? And a lot of people have a tendency to do that. They'll sit there and say, well, you know, there are a few things I'd like to change in my life. So I was like, okay, it's okay. You know, just the realization is the first step in changing that to manifest exactly what you want to happen. I mean, like I said earlier, when I saw this lady last night, when she had this guy, and she's like, I wonder what's up with this guy. You know, he is so mean. And I said, okay. You know, it's one of those things, you look at the situation and go, okay, why do you want to be with this person? She goes, everything else is great, except for he's mean. I said, I said, look at the situation, sweetie, look at your picture. You know, did you say that you wanted to be with somebody who's mean? Did you also say that you wanted to find somebody who couldn't give you what you wanted? That you were supposed to be, you know, good for each other? Not the
so
idea.
You go out and work all day and then you come home to me. Wrong answer.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, you know, it's like I'm looking for somebody to make me happy.
Amen.
I said, what? And I sent her and said, well, why put that responsibility on somebody else? Don't you really want to be with somebody that you can be happy with?
Right.
And are you happy with yourself? It's like, oh, I don't know. Well, maybe that's why you keep getting these people that don't know. You know? I got this guy who just came in the picture and he doesn't know what he wants. I said, well, do you really know what you want? Well, I've been thinking about that. Interesting. And they're just like, you know, you're being mean. I was like, am I being mean, or is you don't want to hear it because it's getting too close to the truth? Does it scare you? It shouldn't scare you. You should let yourself and allow yourself to get that close to see it for what it is, because what's going to be really incredible about the situation is it's like looking in a mirror. It's you.
Mm-hmm. You have to got to love yourself and be happy with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sucks.
And put some what word I want to use? Put some, you know, have some, you know, have your checklist of what you will accept and won't accept, and that way you don't fall into all this old foolishness.
Mhm.
That's
yeah,
just
I
my
guess,
opinion.
I guess you could look at the situation and what your list's all about. You know, it's like looking at the list, and I think sometimes we need to open ourselves up to what's good for us as well as what's in our best interest. Which
life
is
too short to be unhappy.
And, you know, I told this one lady, I said, this is my philosophy. Even if we were immortal, do you think you should waste a minute?
Mm-hmm.
If we live forever, I think we should still make every minute. But it's
okay.
To the point it. But it's the idea of helping people realize what that means. It's like, okay, when we sit here and say live in the now, you ask me, what does it mean to live in the now? To get what I want? That's not what it means. It means to realize that the moment, right now, the one you're experiencing at this moment is the only one that exists. And realistically, at this moment, there is no future. There is no past at that moment. You're living this right here. And you got to say to yourself, hello. what's going on right now. And this makes it easier for people to make decisions. It really is. Seriously. Think about this, okay? You got a bill that's due in a week. But what's happening at this moment? I don't have the money to pay that bill. Yeah, but you don't have to pay the bill. You don't have to pay that bill for another week. Why worry about it now? Why worry about it at all? It's the idea of realizing at this moment, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. What should you do? Relax. Because there's nothing to make a decision about. There's nothing you can do about. There's nothing you can change in this world right now. Except for give yourself the time and space and the attention that you deserve as well. Because there's nothing else. There's nothing else. There's no one there. Nothing like that. You know, people sit there going, what is this person thinking about? Who cares? What makes a difference? You understanding them is not going to make things different between the two of you. And it definitely ain't going to make a difference in your own life. You know, it's like, okay, what are you going to do? Okay, so he's, you know, it's like, okay, this guy's having sex with some woman. How's that going to change your life right now? I guarantee you're going to get really mad because you're going, what's he doing that for? You said he's still in love with me. See, you don't need to know that. What you need to do is at that moment is focus on you and ask yourself, doesn't matter what's going on in the world out there that you cannot experience because it's not a part of your path. It's not a part of your life. But here you are trying to make it that way. And then you wonder how come you're all stressed out. You're finding things to stress yourself out over. When you should be looking at the situation, go, this would be a great time to meditate, to relax, to let things go. Or maybe I should sit back and reaffirm what I want. But you're worried about something else with somebody else. It's taking your energy somewhere else. That's why you're probably tired, too. A little drained, because you're sending energy out in a negative way. You're wanting to know. When actually what you should be doing is using energy. You can go ahead and send the energy out there, but let the universe bring the answer to you instead of you trying to figure it out. If he shows up to your door right now and says, I love you, there's an answer. Can you make that happen? Of course you can.
And sometimes it seems as simple as asking them, you know, whatever question it is that they're calling you for.
We've gone down that road, yeah, because people are sitting there going, a couple of people have asked me up for it. It just came to me real quickly. I said, dear, do you ever think about asking the source? She goes, what's the source? Him. You know? It's like, why don't you go up to this guy and say this and ask him, how do you feel? What do you want? Oh, he might run away. I said, doesn't it tell you something?
Okay.
She goes, what's it tell me? I said, aren't you looking for someone who can actually, you know, it's like, I want to be myself. Well, you were just yourself and this guy ran away. What's that tell you? Huh. He's scared. No, it doesn't. It means he tells you right there, see, you're being yourself, right? He ran away from you. What's the reflection? What do you think the reflection is that he saw? That he's not being real. He's not being honest. He can't be. But you are. So look at it a positive way. The reflection that you got from him running away was showing you right then and there who you are. I'm a loving, caring person. I'm very straightforward and bold. And don't you want someone else like that too? Like attracts like.
Right. I'm going to call in on one of them BTR shows because they got some strictly for relationship advice. They just listen in. You know, it's because that's who they need to be calling more so, you know, than a psychic. You know, like the psychic is going to jump in that person's body.
They need to find somebody that's going to help them also trust themselves. I was watching this one show the other night. Well, I was listening. I've listened to him a couple times. I really haven't listened to him in a very long time. It's a very popular show on Blog Talk Radio, and a lot of people go there to get readings and stuff. And I was just like, listened to that one, and I was listening to other shows and going to other people and stuff like that. And it just seemed like the one common denominator was people talking about how you can't read yourself. And I said, you know, it's like watching the History Channel, and you hear people talking about alien astronauts, and they keep talking about runways, and you're sitting there going, something just not setting with me just too right, you know. And I think we need to listen to ourselves at that moment and go with the flow of that whole thing and go, okay, where's this going to take me? Well, don't think about it. Just I need to find some answers. You know, open yourself up.
I hear a couple of people say that they can't read themselves, which I don't understand that, it seems like you ought to be able to know a little something about yourself before the other person, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to go to stores all the time and get scratch-offs and go, I'm going to win $50 today. $50. Okay, listen to myself. I walk in, I'm going, I should get a ticket. And I started seeing these ones in Colorado. They're called, I think they're called heads and tails. And they're coins. And you rub them off. If you get 3 coins, you win. And I was sitting there doing those things. And I did things like that. I started to when I was asking other psychics for information about certain things that were going on, I started realizing that I was always right. So it was one of those things of saying, okay, I'm having a problem with this thing. It's like a contradiction that you can't read yourself. I'm starting to realize I'm doing just that. And then we take it back one step further, look at the situation. If you're truly getting information from God, the angels, your guides, that kind of spiritual realm, then how come you can't be 100% accurate? I'll tell you why. Because you give information to humans who have a tendency to interpret the way they want to with free will. I think sometimes you can't be 100% accurate or right on the money with those things, because a person can say, well, you should turn left, they'll turn right. Okay, so we got that going on. But at the one point is, if everybody's listening to their intuition or their abilities or, you know, their insights, their guides, their angels, then they should be able to take that information that's coming to them 100% and be okay with that and say, okay, this is what I should do. Because we have so many things, we have so many sayings out there that point out the truth too as well. I got to stop second-guessing myself. Where'd that one come from? Because you should listen to the first thing that comes to you when you're in the process of making a decision. Because what happens when we second-guess ourselves is the ego is kicking in. Okay? So if we listen to our first person, we get the first person, right? You sit here and say, okay, this is saying I should do this. This is the very first thing I heard. I guarantee if you start just with that one technique of listening to the very first thing, it pops in your head every time you're trying to make a decision, you'll stop making less mistakes. I've actually done that, and it just seems like it's a progression. Everything kept on getting better and better and better. I mean, I understand the idea of living in the human body, how it can actually work. You know, sometimes it wants to work against you and wants to send you in another direction. The ego is not one of those things that wants to, you know, be something that doesn't be heard. That's where all the meditations, the chakra clearings come in, and that kind of stuff, kind of balancing it out and using the ego for what it's for, motivation, not control.
Mm-hmm.
To sit there and you're like this, okay? You sit there focusing on something, and answer comes to you and says, "You should do this. You just should just go." Okay, you want to go to England? Then open yourself up and say, "I want to go to England. I want to go right now." And then whatever starts coming towards you, you know, teach yourself that when the opportunities come along, don't question them, just follow through, and you're gonna, you know, that's the answer. All of a sudden, the ego kicks in and says, "Remember what happened last time when you did that." What your job is to look at that and say, you're right. In a sense that the ego says, remember what happened last time? You can tell yourself right at this moment, said, I don't have to. I already have the answer. And I see it so clearly. And don't be surprised if the ego does tone itself down a bit where it doesn't come out like that dramatically and say, okay. You know, like, here's a girl. Remember what happened last time you walked up to her and asked somebody out? They told you no. And then it's like open yourself up to your angels and saying yes. But we also know for a fact that when you ask somebody a question, it could be yes or no.
Right.
So maybe you should be focusing and looking at the situation. Why did the girl tell you no? You just found out that she's a slut. So getting no, it's like the universe is trying to save you from a situation that you really didn't really want to go down because you're reading on the surface. So they were trying to show you the whole picture. So then you see this other girl that you feel more positive about that actually resonates within your heart more than anything else ever has. See what she says. See, you know, and next thing you know, you get someone who says yes. Or I was doing this while I was working. When I met this girl last summer, I was sitting there working on this site, and people come in all the time flirting with me. And I was just sitting there and say, here's my information. If you can figure it out, give me an email. Yeah, send me an email to Block Talk Radio, and we'll see what happens. Well, I think I said it to a couple of people. And nothing seemed to happen. Until this one particular girl came in there, and I felt like she'd been watching me for a while. You know, people say, oh, is she stalking you? I was like, I didn't feel like it was a stalking. I think it was more of a curiosity. Why am I being drawn to this person? I've been there myself, you know. So you put the information out there and said, okay, on this particular site where I do readings, they call me Psychic X Journey because for some reason the browser, I couldn't put the whole thing, like Psychic X Journey Man. So I told her, I said, okay, you really want to get to know me? Okay, fine. Take Psychic X Journey, put man on it, go to Block Talk Radio. You should be able to find me. If you do, send me an email and we'll see what happens. She did. In 20 minutes. So I followed through with it. Really try to get spontaneous, okay? Just when something happened, didn't question it, just went through. And it was kind of funny. She sent me an email. She gave me an email. I can't remember which one it was, but we ended up talking on Yahoo. And then she sat there and said, hey, why don't you turn your webcam on and let's see each other? Okay. And then we went from there. We started talking on Yahoo, Skype. We started texting each other. We started doing all these things together. Now, it was kind of funny. She was in England. I'm here. But we still were spending all this time together. And isn't it what you do in a relationship? I thought so.
Yeah.
And it's like I was telling people before. I saw her on the webcam, on Skype, and on Yahoo. Like, it was still not the same thing. I said, really? I could see when she was happy to see me because her face would light up. Is that what you do in relationships? When you know someone
right.
likes you? I said, that's the thing about everybody has to realize. You're sitting there thinking that you have to do certain things and you have to feel a certain way that we're not honestly really allowing ourselves to experience these situations as they're really happening. That's the confusion part on some people's part, too. I'm saying, okay, I want you to sit back and look at the situation. What do you feel? Go with that. What feels right? Not what you think you should do. We're always thinking, what's the political thing to do? First of all, political? I looked up in the dictionary. You know what it says under political? Bullshit. Okay. You know, it's like, political? We're looking at politicians who can sit and talk for 2 hours and never say a thing. Okay? Do you want to be politically correct, or do you want to sit there and feel what's the right thing to do? What do you feel right? You know, I was sitting there looking at the situation myself and telling people, hey, you know, this is a great relationship, and, you know, I don't know, I really still feel like it's one of those things that kind of baffles me sometimes why it's not happening at this moment. But then again, maybe in the sense of the word, it is still happening, but the connection still exists. Love never dies. That essence of that person, the love, the energy that was created between those two people will never ever end. Okay? It's just people and situations and actions and those kind of things have a tendency to come to an end. But it's like, look at the situation. Someone goes, you know, relationships, you know, what is it, a good thing? All good things must come to an end. Yes, they do. They go from good to great. Okay?
Yeah.
They didn't tell you the end of that hard part, did they? It's like, okay. They're sitting there going, well, my friends told me that this is not real. Okay, instead of walking away from it, shouldn't we also work on proving them wrong and showing that how real it really was? It was just one of those things that people are telling you things around you, but they're signs of telling you that you need to trust yourself and say, what do you feel? I feel like I really connect to this person. I really feel like I love this person. Okay, then maybe the friend is telling you the negative stuff. It's just a catalyst to have more faith in yourself, to motivate yourself to keep going forward, to say, okay, how can we make this real? How can we sit there and look at the situation? Maybe it's just a couple of components. Because I was actually sitting there talking about, I seen this on a show. It was one of those mystery things on where they do those little, where they found that this guy was, these two people who had supposedly killed this, had killed somebody. They found out later on that they didn't. And it's kind of amazing that this woman knew this, and she actually attached herself to one of these guys. And she was dead bent on trying to prove that he was innocent and get him out of prison. Now, they took him 5 years. Now, in that 5 years, since he was on, I think he was on death row. So, in those kind of situations, she never had the chance to touch him. She never had a chance to physically be with him, as some people would call it. But she got to talk to him through a piece of plastic on the phone, and they developed this great relationship. And they actually fell in love with each other. And they're in this interview, right? And the guy goes, well, I guess when you got out of prison, you guys had to start all over again. He goes, why? Why do you think we had to start all over again? It is what it is. We fell in love with each other. We know we love each other. The idea of the physical part was just the last piece of the puzzle. Okay? So
right.
if we look at situations just like that, does it really matter how those things happen? Because I think it's like we sit here talking before, and it was kind of funny too, because this particular woman, I was actually, and I would sit here, I could still say right now, I am deeply in love with this woman. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And it's like look at the situation of going, does she know that? It's like look at the situation of listening to friends, and you're sitting asking yourself, okay, people sit and say, well, how you know that she's feeding too much into her friends? Because of some of the things that she sent me. I remember one time she found my horoscope, and she said, this is a horoscope for Taurus. And in the horoscope, it talks about technology, to use technology to increase and to enhance your relationship. Okay, she sends me this. So we're actually talking through Skype and the computer and that kind of stuff, and having this fantastic relationship where we're actually, there's a 5 hours difference between England and here, so we're 5 hours ahead. So when it's 11 o'clock here, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. And to have a woman, if you have a woman who stays up with you, and you guys keep talking to each other until the sun comes up on the other side of the world, I think that woman loves you. She definitely, there's something definitely strong going on there where this person wants to be with you. And then all of a sudden we have this, as people would call it, doing a 180 and turning the other way. What happened? Maybe it's the idea of looking at the situation of a person who is listening to their friends too much. I wish I could have told her the story about what I just told you, where it's the idea of looking at the situation going, what we have is real. What really unfolded with us was real, and the whole thing was going down the whole thing. It's just the idea that when you started thinking it wasn't real, it's because these unreal people that were clouding the whole thing and putting in there, that they couldn't experience it because they wasn't experiencing it. And it's, the one thing is the truth. People cannot really honestly look at you and say, I know how you feel, unless they're experiencing it right at that moment. I mean, my thing, I look at people going, I can feel what you're going through, literally, because I'm actually, what I'm doing is I'm tapping into it as an empath, as a medium and those kind of things. You can do that. But to really get the grasp of the whole thing, I would have to actually live that life. And I always tell them, from what I can feel and what I can sense with you now, I can sense, you know, what you're going through. Maybe not completely as you're living it, but I can feel it, you know.
Wow.
This is just to help other people that when you have found that significant other, those are the things you experience. You know, and that's what it was with her. It's just like looking at things realistically and saying, this is what's going on. But I never thought about it. I always tried and was always making an effort to always see somebody for who they really was. That actually intensifies everything that goes along with it, because you're not reading things on the surface. You're not looking at her going, okay, she's got nappy hair. She wears her dress 3 times in a row. Are these really grounds for looking at somebody and saying they're not worthy to be with you? Or is it just you're looking for excuses? Maybe you don't want to, you want to sit there and run away, or maybe you know, don't commit. And I sit there and say, no. I sit there and give out too much advice every freaking day to say you. What really happens between two people in a real sense is a spiritual connection of people's essence. That's what true love is. That's what a twin flame is. It's connecting into each other's essence of who they really are. The physical sense is just what we use to actually express how we feel in a physical sense. But you know, two people that are really in love, it's like touching. Being intimate has nothing to do with sex. It's being intimate means sharing your life with somebody. And if you're doing that with somebody, and I don't care if you're doing it on the computer or the phone or whatever, if you actually know that you're being honest with yourself and you're giving yourself 100% to that person, I don't think it matters what the vehicle is.
And, you know, another Creflo Dollar. dating, you know, ask questions, you know. Get to know a person, you know.
Oh yeah, I know. It's like you know, there was one out there. I was telling a friend of mine. It's like a good example is like hitchhiking. Hitchhiking's like this. You hitchhike, you go out there, and I would tell people flat out, hitchhiking's not dangerous. It's perception. They go, oh, no, no, no. Hitchhiking's dangerous. Oh, really? How so? Well, you know, you never know who's going to pick you up. Yes, but you do. See, I'm asking God for rides. I'm saying, okay, God, where are we going today? I got myself in this situation. I need a ride to go from here to here there. Ah, yes. So.
Yeah, I remember your Tennessee story.
Oh, I'm just saying. I was hitchhiking, and it was like a thing came to me one day, and I said, okay, sometimes I get a ride in 5 minutes, sometimes I get a ride in 20 minutes, sometimes it's 2 hours. But see what's happening with the idea of manifesting that ride is God, the angels, the universe is lining everything up to give you the ride that you need at the time, to get you the farthest, to keep you going forward, to get to your goal. Your manifestation is the ideal. You have a destination that you want to get to, right? And if you
right.
don't trust that, if you don't trust that guidance, you don't trust what you're doing, you don't trust the prayers that you're asking, that's why it takes some people a hard time or a long time to get where they want to be. But once they start trusting and having faith, things start happening faster. So maybe we would look at divine timing as your resistance to what you're trying to manifest. And once you lay down that resistance, that's when everything falls in your lap. But some people want to look at the situation and go, well, you know, I don't know if I can do this. Well, you're right. It's over. And they're like, whoa. No, that's not my interpretation. That's just what you just said. It's just the idea of using the word can't and I don't know. Once you sit there and put yourself in the know, it's like we can all have faith. But when we sit there and have faith so much that we know, then we don't worry. It's actually, I was actually reading this one part where it says when you're in the process of manifesting, once you get yourself to the point where you don't care if it happens or not because you just know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's going to, that's when you have this sigh of relief. And you just let it go and go, why do I feel all that weight on my shoulders just sink to my feet and now it's gone? Because it was just that illusion you just let go of to realize that in order for what you're focusing on to happen, you don't have to worry about anything else because the universe is going to line all that stuff up. Okay? So if you focus and you can see the outcome exactly where you want to see it, the universe, God, the angels will align everything up for that outcome. So what's there to worry about? And isn't worry a lack of faith?
Yes.
So are you in a situation of lack of faith? What's the opposite of faith? And as easy as that is changing the course, like we saw with the railroad tracks. You got the railroad tracks. One goes off to the side, one goes straight. The one that goes straight says the unknown, but your success is assured. And then the other one goes more of the same. Okay? I think I'm going to go straight into the unknown where it says success is assured. I can't see it. But is it also another illusion that is there really darkness? Or is the idea of realizing that the reason I can't see the light is because I'm the one who's supposed to illuminate that path?
What's your email address that I can send you an email?
Okay. If you guys want to contact me through an email, all you got to do is very easy. It's psychic, capital X, journeyman, at live.com.
At what.com?
Live.
Okay.
It's Saturday night. I'm live. Wow, it is Saturday night, isn't it? I missed Saturday Night Live.
No, it's more like Sunday morning now.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, huh?
I might go ahead and turn my computer on and send it to you now because I had turned it off. And you're going to be on tomorrow night as well, correct?
Yes, I am. And actually, Monday morning at 9:30 and Wednesday morning at 9:30, we're going to be on too. We're going to be talking about alien astronauts.
I heard you last night, and I saw that, you know, on all your upcoming stuff.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be talking about Atlantis, where it's like I did before. I was just pointing things out where we can actually trace the whole thing of getting people to visualize. There was a thing where they were talking about some people think Atlantis is near Iceland. Some people think it's near Ireland. Some people think it's Japan and China and Florida. And I was like, my theory was, what if they're all right? That like the Roman Empire used to have outposts. It was huge, humongous, you know, Roman Empire, and there was other things as an outpost that still flourished even after the Roman Empire basically fell. And it was the idea of putting those things together, of looking at Atlanteans as the same way, of having these outposts and having influence. Like we have the big continent that was between the United States, actually North America, and there's a continent between North America and South Africa. And, you know what I'm talking about. It's Africa, and you got all this big landmass. And it was because they were sitting there looking at these, in the ocean, in the Atlantic Ocean, they was looking at these, they thought they were valleys and crevices. And when they found out later on, they were mountain ranges that were, at one time, they were above, you know, above the water. And now they're below the water. But they're not valleys. They're actually mountains. So when you start looking at those things, start looking at yourself going, okay, maybe the point that's been referred to, Atlantis has been referred to as the city of Atlantis and the continent of Atlantis. It's the other thing too. Everybody's trying to place it put it in a box. And I said, well, we sit there and look at the situation more in a wider span of looking at, there could have been a city of Atlantis in the middle of the Mediterranean, and there could have been a continent of Atlantis too as well. Maybe they just felt like building the city in the middle of the Mediterranean more feasible, because a lot of people in the Mediterranean, there was a lot of civilizations that were very economically big empires too as well. The Minoans, I think, was one of them. So with that kind of information, why couldn't you not have Atlantis where they felt like, well, have the city of Atlantis in this region because it's very, you know, fertile. And then we have this continent of Atlantis that people, you know, they have this thing back and forth. You know, a lot of people have a tendency to, you know, like there were certain things in America that are named after places in Europe because that's the origin, you know. So they could have the same thing going on too as well. And then they found these pyramids near Japan. They also found just a lot of things, but no one's really done a lot of work around Iceland, probably because of the water. It's pretty cold. And it was like, you know, that's a little bit different situation. But I said, well, if you could sit there and see these situations where it was like, these would be outposts. And one lady called in and she's like, why do you always see them under the water? Why the water? And I said, well, it's been said that the Atlanteans worked with nature hand in hand. And actually some of the things they found as some of these civilizations near the Mediterranean and some other places where they've actually seen these ancient civilizations that actually have hot and cold running water. They have bathrooms and all this stuff in their homes. And they also had that, there was this one, I think it was the Minoans, where they had their homes, where they would have them in the ground. So you'd have the upper part of the house above the ground, but you'd have the lower part in the ground. And then everything kind of works together, where it keeps you cool in the summertime, and it keeps you warm in the wintertime. And they had all these things going on where they were, and it seemed like the more they worked with nature, the more they didn't have to deal with any outside sources for power or sources like that. And there was a very powerful, very advanced civilization, even to the point where there are sewage systems, and now they had them all made up, where it would actually take the stench away from the home. So they had all these things going on. And then we were talking about last night, where we were talking about, and this guy has found in Atlantis, not Atlantis, sorry, in Egypt and a couple other places where he's actually found saw marks. And if you see these marks, the first thing that pops in your head is one of those little circular saws, and you can, the handheld ones,
right,
cutting these little things out. And I was going to get some more information on the whole thing of where these places are at, but they're also talking about other things where they were talking about, the guy was sitting there saying, it's great that we all talk about the runways and who made the runways and, you know, who was Atlantean, was it alien astronauts or whatever, if they did or didn't. But he says the one thing you need to look at, the situation of those things too, is to look at the endeavor, you know, what they put into these things, to do these things. You got these civilizations of the pyramids. We're not talking stones that weigh a couple hundred pounds. We're talking tons. You're talking about going into the pyramids and finding stones that are so precisely put together that you can't even get light to shine through them. To get those kind of fine cuts, you're really talking at lasers and saws and stuff like that, not chisels of chiseling these things out. We're looking at the people, the Egyptians, who at that time basically were working with wooden mallets and copper tools. Well, they, at the process of working and stuff, they actually had, the reason they had these workforces that were so humongous when they were supposedly working on these things was because half of this workforce was the idea of actually keeping these tools where they were actually workable. And then we have to make them, because it's like today, we don't, you know, you can't go to the hardware store and get you a couple of tools, you know, and a couple of chisels, and let's go build a pyramid. It's the ideal. Everything has to be created in order to do these things. And I thought it was amazing to look at these situations and then try to figure out how they did them. Even Stonehenge. Stonehenge was done where, if you look at Stonehenge, most people think those blocks are just laying on top of each other. They're not. They actually have nipples on them. One fits in, they actually interlock with each other. And we're talking like 10,000 years ago. You know, what society was getting together on this whole freaking thing. Because one thing you have to understand, too, this is a massive construction job. You know, organization, getting these people motivated to do these things. We're talking years. We're not talking months. So what if we have this theory where we have these Atlanteans who were, I don't care how they were influenced, it's just how they influenced the world. Like coming in there and helping the Mayas build their pyramids. You know, where we have to, actually, when you look at the situations of some of these people that they're talking about as gods, it's actually being Atlanteans intersecting their technology into these societies. It's also been said that when you study the Egyptians were a bunch of Egyptians wandering around the desert. What motivated them to stop, to build this great civilization? They seem pretty content wandering in the desert. You know, what happened? And if you look at the situation now of these societies falling apart, whether you know, the Egyptians are not around anymore, but we still have a band of Egyptians wandering around the desert. So it's like they went and did this whole big thing, motivation, and then for some reason the motivation kind of like went the other way, and they lost motivation on how to do the whole thing, and it just kind of like fell apart. I mean, do we really have a lot of history on what happened to the Egyptians? Or did it just kind of, almost like it just kind of filtered out? The Romans are the same way. Sure, the Roman Empire fell, but what happened to the people? They just don't, just because you have a civilization that falls doesn't mean the people disappear. So you're like, look at the situation going, Atlanteans came into the picture and motivated the Egyptians to do things. Because if you look at the Egyptians, the Pharaoh has always been looked at as a god coming from the stars. And there is one thing that I did notice in all the research that I did, Orion's belt is at the key of all these civilizations. And if you go to the, I think it's to the right, there's a star called Cyrus. I think it's Cyrus. I have to look that one up again. It's really late to do. But Cyrus. Cyrus, that all these civilizations, look at this one up to this area, saying that's where life started. So I said to her, I was telling a friend of mine, I was telling everybody last night, I was like, okay, sure, maybe there is alien influence on this planet. But I think all the stuff that we're seeing is from the influence that they maybe influenced the Atlanteans, which funneled down where they actually did it with everybody else, you know. The city of Atlantis was destroyed by a volcano, and it's been proven that in the middle of the Mediterranean, there used to be an island there called Crete. Now it looks like a horseshoe, because there was a volcano there at one time that was so powerful it destroyed the whole freaking island. Gone. And I was sitting there, and it's like the one thing we was looking at, the key was it said Atlanteans had this great technology about crystals. And the one thing that you find, because people are like, okay, this is such an advanced civilization, why would they put themselves at the base of a volcano? Well, let's say you have very strong mental telepathic powers that you could actually have, like we do now, like it talks about, like with Jesus. Jesus had control over the weather. He told the storm to stop, to dissipate, and it did. And all these, right. And then when he wanted to feed the masses, he didn't think about it. He just did it. Okay? Right. I'm not saying he's not divine. I'm not saying he didn't, you know, he's not the Son of God. What I'm saying is to look at seeing that, and then they see these people who see someone else who exhibits the same thing. It's just that, you know, it might be the situation of that the Atlanteans were people that were the chosen ones too, as well as being, they used all their abilities, just like it was in the beginning. You know, like when Adam's talking to God, you know, everybody keeps getting this image that God's talking from the sky. I think it's just like it is now, where God talks to intuition. So Adam heard. See, Adam heard God. If you read that context in the Genesis, see, Eve is always asking questions to Adam. So I think in some sense the word, Adam was getting the messages and the intuition, and I think Eve could have, but she wasn't listening. She was always thinking about what she could and couldn't do. And then Adam's thinking, what's wrong with her? No. Anyway. No, I'm just, you know, it's one of those things of trying to coexist. And when you sit here and look at the garden and everybody's just living their lives, everything seems to go smoothly. It wasn't until they started questioning everything that they got themselves in trouble. I think we should learn from that. We should learn from that one aspect of saying, okay, when you think too much, you have a tendency to get yourself in trouble because you're in your head. But every time you follow your heart, everything always seems to work out. Even if it doesn't work out, you know why, and you feel better about yourself. We're talking about the runways. The biggest thing about those things was it was baffling to most people. Is they cleared the top of the plateau off, but there's no evidence of what they did with the excess. It's not there anymore. But you can look around the whole place, and you notice that all the plateaus have tops on them, except for this one where they did all this construction, and you can actually see this. Also, there's another part down there too they were talking about that I thought was incredible, that they started finding these 3-foot holes. There's 3-foot holes, and they're about 3 to 4 feet away from each other. They're all in a row. There's all these holes, and they go on forever. But when you take a look at these things, as in an aircraft, it looks like a big piece of machinery came through, like a bulldozer. The pattern makes sense, like it's a big old track or something, like some kind of technology that came into these little things and made these tracks, because they go on forever. And you're like, and when they start looking at these things, they've dug in them, they've checked them out, they've done it, you know, excavated them and done the archaeological thing. They never have found anything in these holes, never found anything around them that indicates what they're all about. But it says it's kind of funny, when you sit there and look above them, it looks different. But I was sitting there talking about the Mayas have this king that's buried under a big old piece of it's like, that's another stone that weighs over tons. And they said that this king they had was well over 7 feet tall. And the way he was talking, there's actually a picture of him where it looks like he's in a, like, you ever seen those Apollo capsules that we went to the moon in? It's actually, if you look at it at a certain angle, it looks just like one of those. He's got fire coming out the back. Looks like he's got his foot on pedals and stuff. Looks like he has something on his nose just for breathing. And all these things. And it was kind of funny how people looked at me and said, as we're watching these shows, going, ooh, aliens. I'm like, I don't see aliens. You know, I just don't feel like with that kind of technology that if these aliens did come from another planet, it would have to be in our solar system. And it's already been proven that we don't have any planets. Well, actually, there's a planet that orbits Jupiter, I think it is, Titan, I think it is, that actually has the closest thing to an atmosphere that actually has water. And close to, I think it's about the size of, a little bit smaller, it's a little bit smaller than the Earth. But if it wasn't so freaking cold, they're thinking it could actually sustain life too. Now, there was actually one research that was done, I think it was actually in India, of finding this story about these people who came from this planet, who came here. And how the story really goes is that they were coming here to get gold to inject back into their atmosphere to restore, because they had, with their technology and stuff, they had actually destroyed their environment. So they needed gold to restore it. So they came here and basically was trying to figure out how to get these people to mine gold for them, which wasn't that easy, or it wasn't hard either. But in the process of studying this story and going to these certain places where they said that they actually came down to actually come and get that gold, you can actually find caverns and going into the ground where they were actually digging for something. And they're really, I mean, there's just everywhere where they were, and they dug down pretty deep too. And some of these things, when you go into these caverns, you're talking about solid rock. And they're trying to figure out how the heck they really got into these things. So it makes you think. And this planet they were talking about was here in our solar system. It actually orbited with our planet. It's like we have our planet, and then you'd have we'd go out further, but it still had the same kind of orbit that we would do. You understand?
I'm listening.
So we have this planet, and it was like supposed to be in our solar system, basically going in the same orbit as we have too. But it had its own orbit, but we were like orbiting together, so kind of like reflected, mirrored each other. So they were thinking that what this could be realistically was, it was the idea, this planet wasn't in our solar system. Then again, it was in our solar system, but it was in a different dimension. Because when you read the story, it's almost like the two planets are reflecting each other. So then we have all kinds of theories. But we had one I was coming up with. I said, you know, what would you guys do if you found out the government has actually had a Stargate program that we've seen on television, have had one since 1914? It's been proven that a lot of movies that you watch have a lot more fact to them, but they make them in a fantasy thing to make you question it, but they're actually giving you all the facts.
Right.
When we watch the Stargate movie, when they supposedly found the Stargate in 1914, and I said, well, how come I get a feeling that the whole thing is that's when they started using it and started telling the whole thing, where you actually see the president and you see the Stargate program and you see Atlanteans working side by side with Americans and the idea of working on a Stargate and realizing that the Stargate wasn't from another planet. It was the idea, like it is in the series itself. We created it, or the Atlanteans created it, to actually connect themselves to other planets throughout the whole universe. It wasn't tapping into different dimensions. It was actually tapping into little sequel pieces across this universe of ours and realizing how big it really is as a tech to go to other planets using a Stargate, and realizing that we didn't have to come up with any kind of technology to boost our capability of traveling through space, but the idea of working on technology to realize we could actually walk through it. And everybody was like, really? Yeah. Where do you think, it's like looking at movies and ask yourself, some of these things are actually really thought out to the point where it could actually be a fact. So is it really fantasy, or is it tapping into suppressed memories of things that have already happened? And even the Bible, it says everything that is now has always been. So therefore, it's just the idea of rediscovery. Looking at the ancient, because I was actually looking at things when I sat there and said, would it be great if we could find out that there's like five or six outposts of Atlantis that still exist, that these people, they found these pyramids next to Japan to realize, it looks extinct, looks like no one's there anymore, to realize that the civilization is actually underneath that. And all it takes is the idea of watching it to actually watch maybe the top of one of these pyramids or one of these formations open up to see something coming out, because it's been proven that there are people have been seeing UFOs going into the water. You know, if a UFO, because one guy was saying, maybe they're trying to hide themselves. Well, they wasn't doing a good job getting there, did they? You saw the UFO from the time it entered our space until it hit the water. So what's it hiding from? It's not hiding from something. Maybe it's actually going. It has a destination. We had this... I was watching doing some more research where they actually had that little island mass that goes between the United States and Mexico and South America. They actually saw this thing through a space satellite, where they had picked up tunnels, that someone had done some tunnels right in those little waterways, right there where they've also had a lot of UFO activity, right? Okay. So we have all that stuff going on. It's incredible. what was really incredible was to come back 2 weeks to get a photo of the same place 2 weeks later, and those tunnels were gone. So it's the ideal looking at certain things in certain situations. Maybe it's the ideal that they didn't disappear. Maybe at that moment they were inviting in extraterrestrials or aliens from another civilization as their spacecraft company came in there. So they had to let down their force field of the civilization they had right there. As soon as the UFO comes in, lands, whatever it does, whoever came in there, the force field goes back up. Once the force field goes back up, you think the tunnels have disappeared. Or maybe it wasn't tunnels. Maybe it was just this elaborate city with tubes, like a hamster cage. Yeah, we got the little tubes that go from section to section. To actually have to see a civilization under the ocean with a big force field over top of it, and they actually go back and forth in those tunnels, and they have this elaborate city. So what we were seeing was it wasn't tunnels, they were tubes. And as soon as that force field went back up, we thought it disappeared. And it's been one of those things too. A lot of places on this planet, it always seems like people have a lot of interest in, and then all of a sudden they don't. I've seen done a lot of research with a lot of scientists who think they've found Atlantis. They got all this enthusiasm and all this energy, and they just want to find it, right? And then all of a sudden you start reading the article and realize it was 5 years ago, and you're like, what happened? Somehow this guy lost interest in the whole thing. And maybe it's just the idea of the Atlanteans want to maintain their privacy. And maybe the one thing we've been seeing as abductions are not abductions. Well, they're abductions, but not by aliens. It's the idea of these Atlanteans, maybe in some sense the word, keeping track of maybe some of the things they've done with the humanity.
Do you have a twin helping you out with all this stuff?
No. I'm just a very intense history buff, and I love all this kind of work where I look at things and things start getting to me. I do a lot of past life readings too, where I've actually met some people who were Atlanteans, and Edgar Cayce actually had an Atlantean guide when he did his readings and stuff, where he came up with all his medical knowledge. And it was kind of funny that's one thing I was talking about too, where they had the stories about Atlantis. And I do feel like that Plato, who wrote the stories, I think he had a really great story and really got some really good information, because he said most of his stories can be traced back to Egypt, where he actually got the information. And the warlike part of the whole thing, I think, is like we see today, where we have fiction and nonfiction put together. We have true events that people have a tendency to put a little dramatic twist on it. And I think it's what he did with his story, where it's like, you know, the reason the Atlanteans were destroyed is because I guess they were trying to conquer Greece, I think it was, or Athens, and they failed. And then after that, they basically, something happened where they collapsed on themselves. But one of some of the things I've seen where I could see that there's a little bit part behind that, like I've seen some of the people came into Egypt, and you have some good Atlanteans and you have some bad Atlanteans who are misusing their gifts, that were some of the, you have some good pharaohs and you have some bad pharaohs. And I think it's the influence we had, because I was like, why would people think these people were gods if they didn't exhibit some kind of superpowers to be put in that position? So they had to do something. And after it's one of those things where you exhibit it and say, okay, this is who I am, you know. And after that, you don't have to do anything. And then whoever comes afterwards, who becomes a pharaoh, is very much put in the same category. So you had the first Atlantean. So you had, because it said that in the beginning of the Egyptian civilization, that they had some pretty ruthless pharaohs. And there was also, we started talking about outpost of Atlantis. And they were talking about having these aliens were having influence over the weather. They think they were actually creating volcanoes to erupt in certain areas, because there was also UFO activity around certain volcanoes before they erupted. And I said there was one place that was one near Iceland, and I think there was one, I'm going to say it was Iceland, in Japan, I think, they had some volcano activity too. And they had these glow, they had these lights that happened before before the volcano erupted. And I was like, okay, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about Atlanteans having an outpost at either one of those places. And then we have a certain kind of activity that kind of backs it up. So we look at the situation going, ooh, this gets a little deeper. Maybe we can actually find some connections to the other places I was talking about too. I mean, some people really get kind of dead on the whole thing, saying, well, you know, if those things actually did exist, then we should be able to find them with the satellites that we have in orbit. But there still have some, there are some things that, I'm like, what was it? I think back in the 40s, I think that's when the great ape was actually discovered. You know? That's in modern times. People don't realize that gorillas are something that we didn't really have, you know, I mean, sure, you have monkeys and things like that with King Kong and the movies and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But some people don't realize that there are certain things. Maybe it was actually earlier than that, but it was in the century. It was in the 20th century that when they discovered great apes and apes. What do you call those things? Gorillas. When you discover gorillas for the first time. But, you know, because it was like people were talking about certain things they found, like Bigfoot, or like watching movies and seeing, oh, well, they had gorillas and Tarzan movies back in 1919 and stuff like that too. I said, yeah, but it's like Bigfoot. People think Bigfoot exists too, and you see pictures of Bigfoot in movies,